Kim Crum Show. Ariana Gladney. Welcome. Leonard Eisenberg.
Here.
Thank you. Kim Kaufman.
Here.
Fred Clunder.
Here.
Jim Lafferty.
Here.
Ali Lexa. He sent me an email saying he was looking for a shoe basket. Brenda Medina.
Here.
Welcome. Sequoia Olivia Mercier. Duchess here. Margie Murray.
Here.
Michael Novick.
Here.
John Parker.
Here.
Summer Reese.
She asked for an excused absence.
Did she?
She's going to try to make it.
Okay, yeah, I didn't get an email from her. John Gary, did you get an email from Summer Reese requesting excused absence? Okay. Lawrence Reyes?
Yeah.
John Wenger? Lamont Yakey? Excellent, thank you very much. John Gary, I confirm we have a quorum. Do you agree?
Yes.
One, two, three. Okay, very good. We're in full tilt. So we've got the excused absence is the only request for Ollie Lester that I know of. Any objection to Ollie Alexa's request for an excused absence? Seeing none, he's good to go. And Terry, could you dial me up a little bit so I can put this down? The first microphone on the left. And just to clarify, Terry just got here. Thank you very much for volunteering around the board. For your notes, Terry, the way I set up the board is the switch on the left is my mic, and they go in sequential order around the table to the right on your board. It should be simple. And just dial it down and out of use. Again, just a reminder, we've all agreed to the set of procedures for avoiding disruptions and getting the meeting going. I think we've been getting better and better in that every meeting. Thank you very much. Members of the public, thank you. You understand that if you do have, there are public comment times. There's going to be four periods throughout the meeting of 7.5 minutes each, where each person gets a minute and a half to speak. So you will have time to comment on the proceedings. If something is burning and there's a fire and you really need to speak to the board, please pick a member of the board. You most likely know somebody here, and just either hand them a note discreetly or whisper in their ear and allow them to bring it up in the board, and I'll definitely call on them so they can be heard. Thank you. General announcements, let me start. Some of you know that I'm a member of Labor United for Universal Healthcare, which is a coalition of about 40-plus labor unions in Southern California that is working for Universal Healthcare. We worked at the national level, now we're working on the state level with Mark Leno's bill. At the front of the room are some materials that they have. There's a group that's putting together Greetings from Main Street. It's an effort by the National Nurses United, NSU, the national organization, to promote single-payer health care. So they're asking if you are a member of another organization or community group, please fill out a form contacting them and letting them know, and they'll send a speaker to your group and talk about the importance of universal health care. So they have a really good program, and that information is available at the front of the room. Further announcements from the room? Anyone like to make a general announcement? Very good. Michael Novick, take the microphone.
This month has been commemorated as Black August, marking various martyrs and deaths and acts of resistance in the Black Liberation Struggle, including the death of George Jackson, Jonathan Jackson. On August 27th, there will be a Black August commemoration sponsored by the Jericho Amnesty Movement. Which will feature a report back from a national confederation to free political prisoners and unjustly incarcerated that's taking place this weekend. So that program again will be Saturday, August 27th at 6 p.m. at the Southern California Library. That same day is also the anniversary of the Chicano Moratorium. Actually, the 29th is the anniversary, but the 27th and 28th there will be commemorative activities, including a march on the 27th from through the Dallas Park, and the 28th, I believe there's a community summer mass at the Dallas Cafe.
Thank you, Mike.
Yes, 27th and 28th.
Thank you very much. The next item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Now, Bernard Duncan, one of his tasks has been to print out the agendas and bring them so that we have copies that have been printed at the station. As he hasn't arrived, Michael Novick had printed an earlier draft. I just made some minor changes, but I can describe those to you since the other ones haven't come here. Margie, do you mind just handing those out real quick? The only difference should be from the document that will be in your hand to the one that Bernard will arrive with is that I've added Roman numerals to the left column as requested to make it a little easier for our agenda approval process. And also, Kwasi Nkrumah has requested time to speak on the Community Advisory Board. So I squeezed, I think, 5 minutes in for him and removed 5 minutes somewhere down the line. So aside from those two changes, the form that Bernard will show up with should be identical to these. So as you get them, just take a look-see. It's very similar to the one that I emailed out. I think I just shifted some times around or something. The public comment sections are italicized to make them stand out. And Michael Novick?
I was going to suggest that a couple of the public comment sections be moved down into the committee report, because we'd like to have public comments before we vote on some of the committee items.
Well, there is a public comment after the final committee report. There's a public comment 4 is the third from the last line.
Sure. Like I'm saying, there's 3 of them and bunch stuff all together before any of the committee reports. And I'm suggesting that we move some of them down so that before the committee votes.
Might a good suggestion be to remove public comment 2 from between Bernard Duncan and the CAD? Oh, the CAD is on this form. That's good. Might a suggestion be to remove public comment 2 from between the management report and the CAD report and then drop that down to a place of your choice?
Or 1.
Okay.
Do you have a firm suggestion for me? You want to remove public comment 1 or where would you like to put it?
Maybe after the governance committee.
Does everyone understand Michael Novick is suggesting we move public comment 1 from the top third of the page down to, was it after governance? Is that correct?
In other words, before we vote on whatever comes.
Before we vote on whatever comes from governance, we get public comment.
Okay, you want to move it to between governance and personnel. Would that work? And we can hear from the public before we pass any motions or they give us. Okay. Any objections to moving public comment 1 down the page to between governance and personnel? Seeing no objections. Ken Aaron, take a microphone.
And then just
take a microphone, please.
Yeah.
Take a microphone.
Then just renumber the public.
Fred Blair, can you help move the microphone along?
Just renumbering everything, right?
Yeah, I just, move 1 and it'll become 3. And any further questions or very good. So we'll move that public comment 1 and call it public comment 3, and it'll go between governance and personnel. Any further suggested changes to the agenda? Yes, Lawrence?
I just have one question. This isn't the agenda. This isn't the agenda that suppose I wrote the new one. That's the one that's
and I think the main difference, which I then caught myself because I remembered someone had requested we do Roman numerals. So I just got back from a two-week trip last night at about 10 o'clock, so I was in a little bit of a driving haze. So I created the document without the Roman numerals, and I go, uh-oh, someone had asked Roman numerals.
Right.
So it should be about the only change, maybe a time shift or something. So it should be basically the same. Lydia, will you take the microphone? We'll get used to it. You just got to remember before we speak, we'll just hand each other the microphone to help out.
Yes, are we going to hear from the PD search committee? Have you heard anything recently, at least like a progress report?
My understanding is that Ali Lex is the chair of that and he's not here. Is there another member of the program director search committee? And hold on for a moment. Let me call on you before is there a member of that committee present?
Hello, yes.
Program director.
Kim,
I'm calling on you now. Go ahead.
I am the co-chair. I will make the report.
Okay, great. So let's...
2 minutes.
Someone want to propose we can squeeze that in just before personnel, because Crumshaw's not here?
That's fine.
Sure.
Very good. So right after public comment 3, the PD search, program director search. I have a tendency to try not to use acronyms just so people remember what the committee stands for. Yes, Fred Klender, can we hand him the microphone? Thank you, Omar. Fred, there's a microphone for you.
You grab the mic.
Do you mind?
Is that before or after public comment, the PD search letter?
Well, my recommendation is just put it right after, because then public comment, we can have governance, your public comment on the suggested motions, if there are any, make the vote, then move on to PD search, public program director search.
Alternatively, I wonder whether it should not be before public comments, without public comment on the dialogue.
Well, that further splits up our discussion of governance motions and voting on them. It adds further delay to that.
Correct.
So is everybody, any objections to the Program Director Search Committee being after public comment 3, which is now just before personnel? Seeing no objections, removed. Any further changes to the agenda? And we are cruising through this. This is looking great. Okay, the agenda is approved. And the July meeting minutes that went out, were there any changes or corrections to the July meeting minutes? Ken Aaron, you've got the microphone. John, you have the meeting minutes in front of you? John Gary?
The last meeting we adjourned for a closed session, and there's no note of that, and there's no report out from the closed session.
John Gary, will you add to the minutes?
The executive session is noted at the bottom of the minutes.
Okay.
It isn't, but it's noted that you went into executive session.
I understand correctly there. I must say. But there's no report. It's in the bylaws that you have to report about the closed session.
In the minutes, or in the notes.
It's got to be posted about the closed session. I would assume it would be good to put it in the minutes or something, some kind of report out about the closed session.
Thank you. Lydia?
Yes, a motion was passed several years ago at the PND, which was then embodied and carried out here at the LSB, that prior to the adjournment of an executive session, the board decides what and how that is going to be reported out. It is absolutely true. We should be reporting out. Certainly, we don't do that consistently on the PND, but that's the process, is that the board decides how it gets reported out. We can do that at a later date.
Okay. Kim Kaufman, can we hand her the microphone, please, sir?
Well, I think Ken's point is, since we didn't report, we didn't decide at the end of the closed session what we wanted to report out, it still needs to be decided.
And my suggestion, yes, Lawrence Reyes, can we hand him the microphone, please? Sorry, thank you.
Didn't Lydia just reiterate that that the board has to decide what's going to be reported on? Isn't that
she did. That's part of the process of the executive session that did not occur in that executive session. There was not an agreement come to as to how to phrase publicly the occurrences of that executive session. Ken Aaron, you have the microphone?
Okay. Assuming Lydia's reference is correct and the policy's in force, that's fine. Then perhaps we should have a short 5-minute closed session to decide what to report. And that would be added to the agenda.
Okay. In the context of that, what we would need to do is ask the public to leave for 5 minutes while we come up with an agreement on how to phrase that. Lydia?
And I recommend that we take
a
board vote as to whether or not the board
should
do that.
Coach Jim Lafferty, let me give you the microphone.
Well, that was going to be my point, because unless we can recreate the exact formation of the people who constituted the last executive session, I don't know how doing it now would have any validity whatsoever.
Thank you, Jim. I would like to take that vote to poll the board just with a hand vote. My suggestion is if you'll entrust me as a chair to come up with a sentence to vaguely, broadly describe the topic of the session without implicating anybody. If you would trust me to do that, that may forego our need to try to do another executive session. So I'm going to call for a vote.
On what?
Who wants to add a 5-minute executive session to this meeting with just the numbers that were present at the last executive session to determine what to say, if anything. So those that would like to have a 5-minute executive session, and then we can talk about where to put it in the schedule, please raise your hands in affirmative. Lawrence, please. I'd like to take a roll call vote on this. And, I mean, I'll honor that request, but understanding the roll call votes cost us time, and I think they're unnecessarily delaying. A hand vote would be very simple. Ken?
I have to make a comment that with due respect to the chair, the chair should not discourage members from a request to implement valid Robert's Rules of Orders or points in the bylaws. You know, of course, you're entitled to your opinion, but as chair, you shouldn't state it.
Thank you. Just watching this process degrade at the last meeting with request after request like that, it seemed argumentative to me. So that was my opinion, and I'm just recommending that whatever we can do to move the process along smoothly is my hope and dream for this board. So, Ken, it looks like you want to speak.
I'm just going to reiterate, a request to follow Robert's Rules of Order is not argumentative.
Thank you. So, calling for a roll call vote on the matter of whether we go into a 5-minute executive session, ask the public to leave, and determine just the members that were at the last executive session what to report out. Show of hands in the affirmative if you want this five minute.
Point of order, one of the members requested a roll call vote.
Right, I was going to go down the list of their hands. So let me call it out verbally to entertain that better. Ken Aaron?
Yes.
Chuck Anderson?
No, not nine.
Rodrigo?
Well.
Fred Blair?
Yes.
Lydia Verzon?
No.
Omar Burdett?
No, thank you.
John Crooks? Okay. Ariana?
No.
Leonard Eisenberg?
Yes.
Kim Kaufman?
Yes.
Fred Plunder?
No.
Jim Lafferty?
No.
Brenda Medina?
No.
Margie Murray?
Yes.
Michael Novick?
No.
John Parker?
No.
Lawrence Reyes?
No.
Okay, everyone else is asking.
No, incorrect. You're missing a member.
Yeah,
point of Sequoia, welcome. I didn't see you arrive. Thank you. Sequoia, how's your vote on the matter?
No.
Welcome. Good evening. Okay, so I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the affirmative. Do you concur, John? John Gary?
5 yes, 12 no.
Thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 no. Ken, any other questions?
My concern is maybe we should address the issue. I don't know if a secretary is appointed to the closed session, but it seems to me that what's going to be occurring here is the acts or discussion or debate or anything that happened in a closed session is going to evaporate and disappear from reality because there's no record of it. I know in the PND, we record and have secretaries for closed sessions, and they're available for members of PND. But in this case, whatever occurred is being liquidated or evaporated. It just didn't happen because it won't be addressed.
Ken, can you hand the microphone to Jim Lafferty?
Yeah.
If I'm not sharing, thank you.
I have moved the agenda.
Thank you very much. So the motion did not pass. We'll move forward to the scheduling the notice.
The minutes approval hasn't been finished.
Oh, thank you. Minutes approval was the topic that we were on. Are there any further additions to the minutes approval from the last? Well, that kept us on the agenda. Are there any further changes to the last set of minutes? Rodrigo, are you raising your hand?
Yeah, I'm just before one.
Okay. Any further changes to the minutes of the last meeting? Going, gone. The minutes have been approved, which keeps us well on track for approving meeting minutes this year. Thank you. And John, Gary, the scheduling for the next meeting, there's two meetings upcoming. First is the standard LSB meeting, which is next month. Do you have the date in front of you? Or does someone have their calendar in front of them with that date? Normally John Wenger would have it from governance, but he's not here this year.
LSB meeting is September 10th.
September 10th. Just for everyone's record. And that's a Saturday, if I remember.
Yeah.
And that's the midday, 1 p.m.?
I believe so. It's listed because we're
going to
have the...
It's listed on the third week to have the town hall on the third weekend because weekend of the 10th is the anniversary of 9/11. We've got to do a lot of conflicting events that we've got to do the town hall in.
Thank you. Additionally, the next meeting that's coming up is our budget meeting, which I think was suggested through finance for the 31st of this month. Is that correct, Kim? Can we pass the microphone down, Ken? Ken?
We've now scheduled the town hall meeting for the 18th.
Town hall.
Which month?
Pardon me?
The town hall itself, the 18th.
Right.
That is
the
what month?
It's Sunday, the 18th. So the 17th.
Kim, what month?
Week 18th.
The 18th of what?
September.
September 18th.
for the budget meeting?
No.
No, town hall.
We had switched the LFB out because we originally thought we could only get Saturday the 17th for a town hall. We now have a location for Sunday the 18th. So we could move the LFB back to the 17th.
Michael
Novick.
So desired.
Thank you, Michael
Novick. Yeah, we did discuss this then because we wanted clear between the 17th and 18th. We felt that we didn't want to have the two meetings in the same weekend.
Thank you. And I believe, John Gary, we did pass a motion to move it.
There was a motion to have it on the 10th, and it was passed. So
thank you. So the 10th is the next local station board meeting. We will have another local station board meeting, a special budget meeting, and I believe the date suggested for that was August 31st. I think you had chimed in on that. Is that correct?
I don't think we ever...
So, okay, then I'll look if someone wants to make a motion to have the special budget meeting on the 31st. Michael Novick.
No move.
Michael Novick is moving. Can you take a microphone and state that? Thank you.
I move that we hold a special meeting of the board to deal specifically with the budget for the next fiscal year on August 31st, Wednesday evening, 7:10.
Very good. Lawrence Reyes?
A second.
And we have a second from Lawrence Reyes. I'm going to take a quick hand vote on approving this budget meeting on the 31st at 7 p.m. Raise your hand if you're in favor of this. At one, raise your hand if you're in favor of this. Are you voting, Leonard? Are you? Thank you. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 in favor. And those against, please raise your hand. We have one against. And those abstaining, please raise your hand. I have one abstention.
Two,
three abstentions. Motion passes. And a note of housekeeping, please turn your cell phones down. Yes, Fred Clinton, you can take the microphone.
I may have been covered twice. Yeah. First is voting in favor, and then due to a certain vicissitude, I put my arm down. You called me a second time.
So it should have been in favor and not an abstention.
You did tell someone in this direction.
Right, so
what is your vote? Yes or no?
My vote is for the meeting as
okay. Motion passes by a wide margin.
So no's are zero now.
We're in good shape. Okay, so everyone knows that there's a meeting on the 31st. If someone knows it's a Wednesday night, which are more challenging to try to find locations for meetings, if someone has some insight at their organization or a group that has an upscale place that we can meet on that night, Kim?
Considering it's a weeknight, I would like to make it near the station so people from the station can get there and, with convenience.
Okay, do you have a location near the station you can recommend? Okay, if you have any research that proves fruitful, let me know and we'll try to accommodate that. Very good. Chairperson's report. There was action items on the list from the last meeting. One was for the agenda to have Roman numerals, and I swear I did it because here they are. They arrived with Bernard. So we've already worked on the old agenda. Luckily, Michael Novick had made some copies, so we accomplished the Roman numeral thing. And also, let's see, agenda time for board questions to P&D directors. So installed in the times here are times for Q&A, so hopefully we'll keep them reduced. From the chair's perspective, I'm glad to see us getting here earlier and working well together. Obviously it was a little frustrating at the last meeting. The executive session might have been handled a little differently, and I talked to some of the parties involved and asked that when issues come up, we talk to each other as individuals first before it becomes a big brouhaha. I mean, should it go that way quickly, that may not be the way to handle that. But I'm proud to see the attendance is up and people here and working together. I'm glad to see Bernard Duncan, our new general manager, who's had a thorough sort of view of what he's going to accomplish this year, and he's handed it down to the staff. And my understanding, the staff is very excited to work with him on that level. So, Bernard, thank you very much. You're fitting in well, in the best of ways. Not the worst of ways. Lawrence?
And I forgot to bring this up when we were going through the agenda. There's an outstanding question in regards to a staff resigning from the board?
Yeah, we will. Unfortunately, Martina Steiner has officially tendered her resignation after recent events, and so she will be replaced with, and pardon me, if I don't know how to pronounce her name, Ankine Antaram?
Ankine.
Ankine, okay. A young lady, I assume, right?
Yes.
Okay, someone I haven't met. So she will be welcomed and installed at the next meeting. She was invited for this evening's meeting and was unavailable with the notice provided. And I'm going to cut my comments down from the 10 minutes I gave myself just in case, but I just want to say I'm glad that we're moving forward. I encourage this level of cooperation. And we all do have the station in mind. That's what brought us all here. And it's been my goal to take the LSB from being an LSB to being a local station board. And we remember why we're all here. So, and I think everybody's on that page. The LSB secretary's report, I added this in just because there were action items. And just that I think there was one thing that someone had requested you address. So I just put it on the agenda, John.
Some of the requests that I bring a paper copy of the draft minutes each meeting. I have been doing that. And there's a copy here, and I'll keep doing it.
Thank you, John. And again, thank you for all of your efforts on the Book of Motions and keeping all of the minutes so well put together. The next item of business, uncategorized action items. Ariana, you were going to speak to the Committee of Inclusion?
Yeah. Well, what happened with the Committee of Inclusion, it was scheduled for the day that the Cynthia McKinney event took place, which was last week. The majority of the people that were supposed to be there for the Committee of Inclusion were there, so we have actually rescheduled it for Monday the 29th. So that's when it will be.
Monday the 29th, and is that open to the public, or can we invite people to hear, or what's the process?
No, it's open.
Open to the public. So the Committee of Inclusion, if anyone wants to join that, want to be involved in that, where is it being held again?
It's going to be
held at KPFK, so you're welcome to come to that. Thank you.
At the time?
And the time, do you know the time?
7.
Very good.
On the 19th?
And so the next item of business is a management report from Bernard Duncan, and I will... Jim Lapp, do you have a question?
Well, yeah, I don't know where it goes. I thought it was coming up under your report, but... Normally, at the board meetings, we
have some sort of financial statement in front of us. We at least have a financial statement with respect to the expenditures of our own board. I've never seen that. I myself am not happy with how much money we've allotted for this board to spend. Had I had a chance to vote on that, I would have voted against that, because I think this board should not be doing that. But at any rate, where did that come up? Where do we get a chance? Where do we finally find out what we've spent and why it's been spent?
Thank you, Jim. And I, my understanding is from other boards I've been on, it's exactly that way, that one of the first orders of business is that we do have an expenditures report of what the board has spent. It hasn't been practiced in all the time that I've been here, a year and a half, so it's probably a very good thing to start is so we know where we stand as far as board expenses, and I would think it would be...
I see it here on the agenda. I didn't notice it.
Well, I think the challenge is the Finance Committee report gets muddled with the board expenses.
Ah.
So what I will endeavor to do in future agendas is I will add the board expenses to an earlier report as a separate treasurer's report on our expenditures.
Okay.
So, Kim, you can just provide what our proposed budget is for the month, what we have spent, just kind of confirm what where we stand. Okay, Kim?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. The next item on the agenda is the management report from Bernard Duncan. I will hand over my microphone. And just, Bernard, keep in mind, I've allotted 15 minutes, and I didn't take very long to mind. We'll start a little late. But try to give yourself enough time to have a little Q&A, and then we'll have public comment.
Thank you. I'm sorry I'm late. I want to make a point of water. Is there any?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I've got written copies of the manager's report here, if anyone would like. Doesn't have one, would like one. I can pass those around.
Okay.
But I'll go, in fact, I'll wait until I go around a little bit, but I'll make a start just on the manager's overview at the top of it, just to tell you what's been going on. And we've We've been working on drafting a budget for 2012. It's not, it's, well, you're very well aware it's not an easy task, particularly when you're working up a budget that in many cases and in many minds doesn't exist from this year. So the process is proceeding, and we're very mindful of the situation we're in economically and doing that as leanly as is possible. That will be prepared and presented to the Finance Committee for a look at in advance of the meeting on the 31st of August. And the next LHC meeting will consider what the Finance Committee has come back to me with on that and any revisions that have been made with respect to that. Last Thursday evening at 7, we had the first of the on-air managers' reports to the listener. That has occurred in quite some time, as I understand it. And but from my perspective, I thought it went relatively well. I got out of it alive, which was the objective from my perspective as well. And so we started with about a 15-minute rundown of generally what's been happening around the place based on the reports that came to the LSC and reports that have come to the LSC in the last couple of meetings. And then we took the phone calls, and the phone board was lit up for the entire duration of that hour on the air, and we actually had to turn six or seven people away at the end of it. So clearly it's something that was regarded as important in terms of the listeners and their and what they and how they interface with the station, and it will be an ongoing and a regular occurrence on the station. It won't be just me though. We will be featuring other people, other staff members, and in fact I'd like to get board members involved at the other end of that too, from the reports to the listener and question and answer session. The August fund drive is underway. You'll be well aware of that if you've been listening to the radio for the last couple of days. The spirit in the station is very good as that proceeds, and a bunch of people have been working hard on putting together premiums for that. An interesting, from my perspective anyway, an interesting thing occurred this morning in the very small hours with Roy Tuckman and Gary Null. In that Gary pitched for a couple of hours without premiums, and we actually Gary and Summer and I actually spoke about that a couple of weeks ago and agreed that we would give that a try and see how it went. Roy was very nervous about it yesterday, but it occurred from 4 this morning for a short while, and we drew $5,500 off that.
Yeah.
So essentially all Gary and Roy were proper, were pitching was the service and the station. The rest of the fundraiser has been going quite well. The numbers are looking relatively healthy. I won't go into any detail on that because we're still only 2 days into a 10-day drive. But as far as I'm concerned, if we make enough money to pay me for next year, it's okay. If you have any comments on the drive, I'll take some questions after we briefly run through the report. The staff meetings continue and are well attended. As you're aware, in terms of running an on-air radio station that's live all or most of the time, it's difficult to get everyone together, and so we can't. But what we do is we get as many people together as possible on the leanest day in terms of particularly scheduled things that need to be done, and we have been doing those since I got here, and they've been very well received, with the staff commenting that they feel more in the loop than they have felt for a while. Dutch briefly referred to a list of strategic actions that have been put together for the next, well, the second half of this year, essentially, that I want to tick off before we get through 2011. They've been distributed to the board, and they were talked about as part of the listener report last Thursday. And so far, things are progressing towards those. Some of them will happen at the same time, and some of them won't start to happen until we get through the fund drive and a couple of other little housekeeping issues have to be addressed. For the public's file, everything is up to date on that and available on the website and available in the filing cabinets in ready reach of the public if they want to visit the station and have a look at those. I will briefly run through what the various departments at the station have been doing. The member benefits card has been attacked quite assiduously in the last few weeks and is paying some dividends. We've added more than 60 more members to that, more vendor members, and they'll be pitched throughout this fund drive as part of the add-on process that we're using with that member benefits card. And we'll keep going on that because people are showing some genuine interest in it, and we're not finding vendors are reluctant to come on board to actually be involved, which is actually quite a good sign for us because it shows that there is a desire to still be involved with the station in its outreach to the community. Community Advisory Board, I know Kwasi's here and will talk to us more about what's going on with respect to the progress in getting things sorted out in that respect, so I'll leave that to him to do. And just touching on some of the things that have been media sponsorships in the last little while, the Health and Politics show with Jimmy Dore, I can't tell you how that went yet because I simply don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it goes, but the proceeds will come back to the station. The drive is underway, as I said. The Francis Moore LePage book and the event for that will be taking place in a few weeks. And the KPFA Recycle Day is on September 10th, which I know is the date we've just been discussing. So I'll have to have a look into that because it's something of a surprise for me that that's when the LSC board meeting has finally been set down for. Just in terms of what's happened recently that we consider to be remarkably successful, last Thursday, the launch of our producer and host Maria Armudian's book, Kill the Messenger, was extremely well attended at the LA Press Club, Steve Allen Theatre, and the station there at $1,167 off that, but the room itself had a very good feel about it, and those of us who were in attendance at that, I think, will attest to it. It's actually, it was a great event to be at, and it was a great event to see people enjoying themselves at and supporting the station and supporting Maria's work in that book.
$1,100.
Yeah. In terms of programming, well, we're back into fun drive, but for me, coming into the place relatively cold in the beginning or mid-June, this is the first one for me, and for my way of thinking, the time that I've been at the station so far, it's felt like a radio station, and suddenly it kind of doesn't, because of some of the programming has been interrupted. But we've tried to keep that to a minimum, and I think we're actually, Alan's actually managed to hit quite a happy medium there, because we are still providing a good component of the programming with the pitching interruptions being kept to a minimum, and I think that's kind of paying off by the look of the way things are moving along. But it has been, in terms of recent history, a lengthy stretch without a fund drive, and I think that may well be contributing to why the current fund drive is working, because people have had something of a breather that they haven't been enjoying in the past, and also they've had regular KPFK programming, which is what they're really there for. The next big project programming wise is the complete day of network programming on 9/11, which will be shared among the five stations in the network and carried by a number of the affiliates throughout the nation, and each of the stations is contributing a particular part to that, and our part here from KPFK will be hosted by Ian, Margaret and Sonali, the three regular public affairs paid staff, and it will consist of a variety of debates, some in-depth investigation reports and some other bits and pieces, some reaction from people who were there and what they're thinking now, and just some of the looks at the way civil liberties have been affected because of the laws that have been enacted since 9/11. So it's looking like a very full day and a very comprehensive day, and that it should be a remarkable thing with all of the stations taking part right throughout that period. In terms of engineering, well, we haven't been off the air since the first week that I got here, and that's, for me, pretty cool. Studios are still working, although everything is getting older, and things are in need of constant technical maintenance and repair. We are close to settling on a different location for the set that we've got in Malibu, so we can cover more of that part of the coast, which is not receiving good service, if any service at all. And the Rancho Bernardo translator is operating okay, but there was a problem there with the with one of the repair with the receive signal that's recently been fixed. Still, Santa Barbara is causing us some issues with overflow from our receive antenna receiving strong signals from a Tijuana station on the same frequency, but Bob is working through that issue as well, with some advice coming from Don Muscle, his consultant. And on Mount Wilson, we're still waiting for approval to go ahead with the standby generator, and we're looking at a standby transmitter there as well, because the transmitter there is extremely old and prone to failure. But we've been instructed, advised, asked by the National Office to actually push that purchase back, if we can, out of this financial year for very clearly obvious reasons. From the business office, the status is still relatively healthy, clearly not as healthy as I would like it to be, but we are putting some hope on the August fund drive to help us to get through to the end of the year, and we are on a spend freeze in as much as we possibly can be right through to the end of September. And as I said just a few moments ago, I'll be presenting a draft manager's budget to the Finance Committee on the 27th, ahead of that meeting. And that kind of wraps up the report from my perspective, and if anybody has any comments or questions, I'm happy to take those from the chair.
Thank you very much. We'll share a microphone. So we have about 5 minutes for questions. The first hand I did see was Jim first. Okay, very good.
Just quickly, when I'm under the business financial status report, what is the relationship between the figures in bold and the figures in apparent?
I'm sorry, I kind of thought I made that clear. I hinted at it in the first line. Financial status has that bold, August 12th, in parentheses, compared with July.
So that's
compared with last month, because I thought the board might like to see how we were tracking against the previous report.
I got you. So in parentheses,
that's last year. Yeah. And what's involved next to it is current status.
I got you.
Very good. Next question, Lawrence Reyes.
I thought Ken was.
And just for the record, while you get in the microphone, note the arrival of John Wanger. Good evening, and Summer Reese. Good evening.
Just in regards to doing the outreach to Recycle Day, I'm at MacArthur Park. Are you familiar with RAC? They have a feeding there every Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sunday afternoon. And I was wondering, and they feed people for free there, and they get all the groceries. And I was wondering if you can make contact with them to see if they can get involved.
Personally, Lawrence, I have to say no. I cannot afford the development staff. I can check with them. That's actually well worthwhile checking into. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Next hand up. I did see Ken earlier. Go ahead.
Just two questions. Is this on?
Okay. And if we
I noticed that there were pre-fund drive appeals by some of the programmers. I was wondering if that was at all successful. And then secondarily, on the day of reporting on 9/11 truth, is KPFK going to contribute any segment to the one-third of the public that thinks it was a cover-up? Inside job, and normally called the 9/11 Truth Committee.
I don't think Bernard's the truth in his report.
I'm just saying if that's going to be covered, the controversy over that.
Well, the first part of your question, there was some income that came in from that. I can't give you a clear figure on it yet, but it wasn't large. At the last time I heard, it was more than $1,500 or something like that. I wasn't big. But it was the first time we've kind of done that, and we'll try it again going forward. The second part of the question, my understanding is yes, there will be some input in that respect.
Thank you.
Thank you. I saw Brenda's hand up next.
Okay. I have two questions. One, I know there's been a motion that has been passed previously to create the website, the KPFK website, bilingual, and I was wondering what's the status on that. And the second question is, will there be a report for the listeners in Spanish?
Not from me, but I'll answer that one second. The answer to the first question is I've been in discussion about that, and we're looking at how we might accommodate more Spanish language through the website. There are a number of options, including a linked website which might only be in Spanish. But I tend to favour a bilingual approach myself, but I'll be continuing to work that through. We do plan to have Spanish language managers' reports, and I'm more than happy to do them and have a translated presence, and I think that that's a very important component.
Thank you. We'll take one last question before our time. John Langan.
Yeah, apropos the notion of unconventional programming, about a meeting ago, I handed out DVDs about chemtrails, and we're in a chemtrail shirt today. I wonder, and I've heard of other people telling about some radio stations actually have chemtrail weather reports. I think you could gain a lot of points in that audience if you start to cover it. And I'd ask you if you, because I gave you a copy too, I'd ask you if you had a chance to view that DVD yet, and whether you've had a thought to had time to discuss it yet with Alan with regard to the notion of covering the topic. And additionally, the new thought, probably a new suggestion, to actually have a very brief, you know, 1 or 2 minutes chemtrail report each day as part of the weather.
No, that's a good idea.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Bernard, for your report. We will now open it up for public comment. I'll request if a member of the board, I don't know if you don't mind helping operate that microphone, that's the one with the long cord, is that it? and just hand it off person by person. And again, a reminder, we have a minute and a half each. And
we need a timer.
I have a timer right here. Ready to go. So we'll start this. And if you don't mind saying your name, probably let them know who you are. And you
Great. Thank you very much for this gathering. I'm Bella DeSoto. I want to address this to the new general manager. I was the second caller when you addressed the witness. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak, although Margaret P. cut me off. I want to reiterate, Sonali, Margaret, and Ian have no clue about anything to do with the 9/11 controversy in this country and worldwide. Further, they have no idea about the 9/11 organizations that have been fighting this blackout, and particularly on KPFK, for true in-depth analysis. And once again, why are we having these people that control already so much airtime on our station? And today, Ian Masters was allowed to get away with protecting, he said, he was trying to protect capitalism. Now, this is a danger for Pacifica. And what worries me more, Mr. Bonner, is that you have said that you are perfectly happy and comfortable with Ian Masters. Therefore, no matter how many people call on the station, no matter how many people express their dissatisfaction and their point of view, they will not be considered. So my question to you is, how are you proposing to then adjust programming if you're already going in with a pre-position that everything is fine the way it is? I want you to please detail to me and others how you are proposing to assess existing programming. Okay? Thank you. Because it is becoming too difficult for me to continue to speak about the same issues and this person is taking.
Thank you, Bella. That's a minute now. I don't want to cut into the public comment. Chance to respond. If you guys do have a question for Bernard or for a member of the board, if you allow them time out of your minute and a half, they'll have a chance to respond. The next speaker.
Oh, Steve Tavala, and I'm calling with regard to the outreach and the CAB. About a month ago, I sent an email to Jennifer Kaiser Coffey to Bernard Duncan with regard to having a report about the CAB, Community Advisory Board, and its lack of having participation by bilingual Chicano programmers on that, and bilingual Chicano people are involved in that, and I have not received a reply on that, and I do not know if you are going to, because when the other night Mr. Alonso called in about that, you seemed to cut him off before he could even say, because you said somebody else has spoken about that, even other people have spoken about some other things, but you didn't cut them off. And, you know, I don't know if you people here are afraid of having bilingual Chicano programming. 6 million people are Chicanos, bilingual, in the county of LA, in the catchment area of KPFK. What is the problem? When is something going to be done about this anomaly? We are a character class, Mexican Americans, but the 1994 Civil Rights Act covers Mexican Americans. And so did the Treaty 1 with Hidalgo, and so did the International Covenant on Rights of Indigenous People. So, you know, let's get with it. If you can, if you're against it, come out and say it, because, you know, so far we have not seen anything with regard to this issue. It's very important in our community. Kansas, August 28th, and we're having the Chicano Moratorium.
We're at a minute and a half. Thank you very much. And just welcoming Lamont Yakey and John Crumshaw to the meeting this evening. Thank you, gentlemen. The next speaker, you have a minute and a half.
Hello, my name is Geneva, and I'm someone's mother, as most of you know. I want to just make a practical suggestion that I hope is non-controversial. When the subject of the KPFK benefits card comes up, I'm struck by the fact that we do not have a card for display in the faces of business that would honor these cards, because frankly I've had a benefit card since the beginning of the year and I have never used it because I have no idea where it's usable, and it would not even occur to me to ask people who don't have a card displayed whether or not they would honor it, because if they've never heard of our station or don't know anything about it, this could be an engaging proselytizing moment, but I may not have time for that, so I don't even want to open that door. So I think if we want to make it really usable and practical, we ought to invest in whatever it costs to place appropriately sized cards that could be on display in places of business so people know to say, hey, I'm a member, I have a card. So that's all. I just wish we could do that as a follow-up to it to make it actually useful, because I'm probably not the only person who has a card and doesn't use it, because we have no idea where to use it. Thank you.
Just give a couple of seconds. Bernard wanted to respond that it's being done.
It's being done?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I wish all of our problems were so easy to solve.
Thank you. So the next speaker.
Yes, I'm Nancy Lawrence with the Peace and Freedom Party. I'm concerned about people like E.L. Masters trashing the Peace and Freedom Party, which he actually mentioned our party by name. And, you know, he's taken over from so many other good programmers that we used to have at his slot. But I am happy to have heard Derek Jensen today, which surprised me. I guess this always happens during fund drives. They put on someone like Derek Jensen, who's a good, very good person. I'm also active in the People's Climate Justice Coalition of Southern California, which is led by indigenous people, which came out of Cochabamba, Bolivia. We need to have more of that on the air. Our planet is in danger. We need to, KPFK needs to be a movement building thing, because also there's going to be no, KPFK, there's going to be no people and animals around if there's a runaway greenhouse gases. I mean, that's the worst case scenario, but we're heading down that road unless we stop capitalism. Also, we have Kennedy's grandson from Air America also praising capitalism. So, you know, we really need some alternatives. We're supposed to be an alternative station, KPFK.
Thank you, Nancy. And that leaves us enough time for one more speaker in this round of public comment.
Good evening. Hello. My name is Maria Joy, and I have been with KPFK since 1960, and I'm very proud to tell you that, because I've listened to people who are dead are still on the radio now. My main concern continues to be, not since then, but since the last maybe 10, 15 years, is that there is no output to these people who pay for the station to survive. So no matter how many times I email, I write, I call, I leave a voicemail, there is no response. There is not even on the website anymore a place called comments that used to be there that did not respond. No, I'm talking about comments. I know what I'm saying. Trust me, I know exactly what I'm saying. Don't put words in my mouth. The issue is that there is no feedback. There is no way for the people who care, who want to help, who have suggestions or criticisms or whatever, to speak to anyone in any way who works or runs the station, including the LSE. There is nobody here who represents me. I don't know who you represent. I don't know where you got elected from. All of that leaves us out. And that's not what KPFK pretends to be. So I would like very much for that to change. I would like the LSE to help it change. I would like to ask Bernard, do you have a secretary or assistant? If you don't, you better get one quick, because you need one. And I need to say again, the always easy answer is we don't have money, we don't have staff, blah, blah, blah. There is always excuses. It is very bad public relations for the station with all its loyal payers, listeners, supporters. I mean, just today, I gave a KPFK card that I had from many years ago
and
to a Mexican worker who was working in my house. That's how much I passed you on.
We're out of time. Thank you very much. So the next person we have to speak is Kwasi Nkrumah, who's going to speak on the Community Advisor Board. Kwasi, if you just want to come over and sit by me, it seems like one of the few notches left to bring a chair over.
Well, I'll stand because it's going to be short. First, I want to apologize for being so long and getting back to the LSB. I mean, most people who've been following what I do know that I've been very busy in the community, which has basically been the focus of the strategy of building a community advisory board for the station. I mean, I've been in LA myself for close to 20 years, and it would have been nothing for me. I know 24 people. I could have easily recruited 24 bodies to sit on a committee and pretend that they were a community advisory board, but that wasn't the idea. And what I brought forth to you as the basic plan is what I have been working all these months on. And basically, that plan was to kind of break out of the existing circle of our activism, because not only is this a problem at KPFK, but most of the active progressive community in Los Angeles has been getting smaller and smaller, not bigger and bigger, over recent years. And, you know, part of our problem is not having enough of a strategy to break out of our own circles and include people who have not been part of our process and actually make what we're doing community-based. That's the idea that I've been working on in relationship to the CAF. Now, last year, about a year and a half ago, a playwright, Donald Freed, put together a play called The Einstein Plan. This was a very broad kind of public appeal for people to activate. And a lot of people responded to that. And so part of what we did, and let me explain it myself and the people who I've been working with, have basically been operating as an interim or ad hoc committee to build a CAF, not as the CAF, but to build the CAF. So we connected with the Einstein Plan because a lot of people were relating to it, and we helped them to set up follow-up meetings to that play, which were directed at constructing community projects to implement some of the ideas of the play about social change. The truth is that didn't really happen with the Einstein Plan, but part of what did happen from the Einstein Plan is about 9 or 10 people came forth in that process who really wanted to do some work, who helped to do work with the CAB as volunteers, very non-egotistical. They were not looking for positions for themselves to sit in, but they wanted to help to build KPFK as an institution. So they agreed to work as volunteers to facilitate the CAB doing outreach in the community. And part of how that manifested last summer, we helped with a project called Hands Across the Sand, which was the only national citizen response to the BP oil spill in the Gulf, the massive destruction of that oil spill, and the national and international action. We helped to build local actions here in the LA area. One of the things that came out of that was that the CAB actually developed very good working relationships with a broad range of environmentally oriented groups in particular. In the fall, also during the summer, we did support work for the tenant organizations here in town that were fighting to extend rent control here in Los Angeles. That was slapped down by the city council. But we built very solid relationships with all of the activist tenant organizations here in town, which continued. We also, in the fall, started working on a political forum to discuss the outcome of the national election. We had to put that off several times, but we were able to pull it off in December. We had a very good turnout in the rain. We had 75 people. I'm convinced that if it had not rained so hard that night, we probably would have had double that number who attended. And the response to that was very, very strong. And what we did was we brought together a spectrum of progressive activists here in town to discuss what the meaning of the national elections were in terms of what we should be doing in our communities to turn the tide in this country around. Following that, we also helped to form what has become the Martin Luther King Coalition for Job Justice and Peace here in Los Angeles, which is a coalition which literally stretches from Compton to Topanga Canyon. I mean, it's a pretty diverse group. They've done tremendous work in I think, probably 25 or 30 different directions around critical issues, and a lot of you are probably familiar with what it's been doing. It has also kind of become a crossroads for anywhere from 50 to 60 organizations here in the Los Angeles area that are dealing with critical issues. All of this has been foundation laying for our ability to go out and actually recruit people to sit on a CAB board for this station. And we have just entered that period this summer where we are actually in the process now of approaching community-based organizations who we've come in contact with through our work over the past 18 months to sit on a CAF board as a designated by the LSP 24 seats.
And you'll need to wrap up.
Okay, and I just briefly, we are in that process now in terms of the composition of that body. We are looking to recruit between now at the end of October, at least 3 labor unions, at least 3 youth organizations, two to three peace organizations, two to three environmental groups, three civil rights organizations. We also want to have three seats on the community advisory board for neighborhood council from different areas of the city. We also want seats for three housing groups and three cultural groups. In addition, we're going to go back to some of the groups who we approached early on who said no to us in terms of taking seats on the CAB, including the Bus Riders Union, the Korean Immigrant Workers Alliance, and a number of other groups that we think do really critical, important work in this community who we think should be on a CAB. And the primary focus of the CAB is, in fact, to make assessments and take surveys and make assessments of our programming. And we need people sitting on that CAB who, in fact, represent constituencies in this town, who are credible, who can, in fact, do that work effectively, and are not just individuals spouting off their individual opinions on things. That was the basic strategy of the CAB. That's where we are currently.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Quasi, for your report on the Community Advisory Board. Thank you for your efforts. It's an important part of our station's outreach to the community. And thank you for your report tonight. Thank you. The next item on our agenda, we have a question from Lydia.
Yes. The critical component of...
The critical
necessity of having the community advisory board, as we all know, is because it's required by CPD. And part of that requirement are the community needs assessment reports. Do we have one for last year that we can compare the one for this year, and is one planned? And I know that you're recruiting for whatever your new CAB formation is going to be, but is there define membership, because that's required. We have to have a CAB at all times. It's a continuum. So do we have like a membership? And I know you define organizations, but you're talking about individuals from the organizations, right? Because we can't sign on organizations to the CAB. It has to be individuals. But anyway, those are the questions community needs.
Before we open up to question and answer, we had 5 minutes allotted. We've got 8 minutes with no time left for question and answer.
Well,
you raised your hand, so I thought you had an important thing to. I call anyone who raises their hand.
Required for the community.
If someone wants to extend the time.
Yeah.
Kim, if you want to be addressed,
Yeah.
Kim, what would you like to say?
I make a motion to
the microphone, please.
I make a motion to extend time for 5 minutes.
Okay, any second?
Second.
Second from Omar. I heard first. A show of hands in favor of extending this time to Q&A 5 minutes. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 in favor. Motion passes. So, Quasi, I'm going to give you, if we can meet at a time, we'll be able to maximize the time. Lydia's asked your questions. We'll give you a chance to respond. We'll give everyone a minute for further questions.
I understand what you're saying, but in my in real life, we can't have a CAB until we have an actual CAB. As far as the positions are concerned on the CAB, my understanding is there's 24 positions. I am hoping to not necessarily tie down particular individuals for those seats. I would like organizations to say, yes, our organization will take a seat on that CAB, and we will send a representative to those meetings. I don't know that there's any other requirement on that. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but you know, you all can school me if I'm off on that. Like I said, I could have put together a group of people, and we could have said, okay, we're issuing out a report, but I don't think it would have been represented.
But do we have one from last year with Mike?
No, we did not.
It's difficult to share this. Microphone. The next person on the list is Summer. You have a question?
Thank you, please. Yes. While I laud the efforts that you're making, Quasi, to be inclusive of many members of the community, and as much as I'm loath to throw more things on Chip Berner's list, I think this is a management function to see to it that appropriate outreach is made to the listeners. The CAB is not intended to be representative of community organizations. It's intended to be representative of listeners. It is an absolute requirement to the CPB funding. We can lose the funding, and we are in violation for not having an appropriate CAB in place when we receive funding from the CPB.
I would, it's not something that the LSB needs to move, but I would request that management immediately implement procedures to post something on the website and to create carts soliciting listener participation in a cab, and that we refer to the CPB guidelines for what needs to be included in the cab in terms of membership, post-haste, and get meetings commenced forthwith, because this is federal law we're talking about here, and we need to be in compliance.
Thank you.
Obviously, I hope you work together on this to coordinate what you've already done.
I don't see a problem in us putting together an ad hoc group, but in particular, given as many controversies as swirl inside and around the station, around programming issues, et cetera, et cetera. My feeling was that people would have a lot more problems and questions with reports which they didn't feel were generated by an adequate body that was representative in the listening area.
Thank you. It looks like we have our last question be Lawrence Reyes, next on the staff. We're going to have your arm staff. I have to go with Wes up first. Lawrence, look at his microphone.
I have two questions. The first question has I elected the director to the GM, and maybe you could answer it to the Community Advisory Board. I believe you said that last month when I asked the question whether there was a report that you were going to look into, that it was sent to the national office. So I was wondering if you could respond to that. And then the second question is, Claude, are you aware that the CPB on its website has guidelines for what the Community Advisory Board does and how it's supposed to come together?
Right.
And along with what Summer said just now, in regards to processes, what kind of processes are you going to engage in to engage the community, and would you accept recommendations from the board for individuals?
So I'll let Bernard answer quickly first and then Lonnie.
What Clarkley just delivered before we get the questions for him is more or less the report that has been delivered from the work that's been done so far.
And I will say, I've been to many regular support since I took on this function, and to my knowledge, they've been accepted generally, as have my reports to this body. And I've never varied from my discussion. I mean, some of the questions here are a little late because I laid out this strategy quite some time ago, several times to this body, and it was approved. So, I mean, I don't have an issue with that. If we need to pull together an ad hoc group, we can do that. But what I'm trying to say is that my basic sense is that within the next few months, the issue will resolve itself because we will actually have a live body functioning as a group.
Thank you, Quasi. We've exceeded our time. So, Lawrence, you want to raise your hand?
I'd like to spend time for 3 minutes.
I second.
Okay, well, I'll take the vote on it, and I just encourage you guys to stay as best as possible. Show of hands, a motion to extend 3 more minutes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Motion passes. The next hand on the list is Jim Lafferty. Actually, you mind taking that microphone?
Yes.
Pass that down. Fred, Ken, pass the microphone down, please. Help your neighbor. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to make sure people understand the importance or the significance of what Summer said. This is not a matter of criticism of you, believe me, nor is it the board's responsibility necessarily to take care of it. It should be done immediately. It can be done very simply, even if it's not a full contingent board. You need to get something right away down on paper that constitutes, if only an ad hoc board in your mind, it has to be done right away or really they will not fund the station. And they won't fudge that one at all. And in the past, we've often had this problem. And frankly, we've created boards sometimes out of rather thin air in order to meet that requirement. So I applaud you doing it the right way. But in the meanwhile, if we have to do it out of thin air, you better do it right away.
Thank you. If you don't require a response, we can move on to another question. Thank you. And you can pass that microphone that way. The next one on the list is Sequoia. You can hand her the microphone quickly.
Okay. Thank you, Kwasi. First, I'd like to offer the World Stage Performance Gallery as a possible meeting place. And we have people on our board and in our community that are KPFK listeners and supporters. So we definitely have a few people that would be interested in representing the Limerick Park area, and we fall in the category of culture as well as youth.
Thank you. Next on the list is Omar. Omar, you have a question?
Yeah, I'd like to say thank you for sharing.
Silence all cell phones. We made the announcement in the beginning.
Yeah, I second that as well. Okay, good. I want to say thank you for coming in to share your support. As regarding say to Al, is it possible that tonight that we could pretty much exchange contact, because many of us do like to take part of this ad hoc, approach of...
No, the LSB and the CAP have to be separate, and the CAP overlap.
Thank you for mentioning that, because many questions.
Thank you very much, and Quasi, thank you for your time.
I have a point of information.
I'm sorry, someone...
Just a point of information.
Okay.
Sorry, with edification, I have emailed a link to the CPB requirements to the LSB and to Bernard and SRG sort of articles on these requirements about CAP, and I don't have your email, Quasi.
Thank you. Thank you, Summer. That seems like a relevant comment. Thank you. The next is the Town Hall Task Force report. Am I correct in remembering Rodrigo is the Town Hall Task Force report, or Kim?
We met on Monday. We have a location, which is the Masonic Lodge on Venice between, I have the exact number here. It's going to be Sunday, September 18th. We booked the room 226. We expect an hour setting up. There's a dance class before, so starting at 3, and it's not firmed up exactly what time we'll finish. I sent Bernard the notes of ideas that the group has come up with. He and Brian DeShazer are going to be the main entertainment presently, and Brian will make a presentation, and Bernard's going to decide what he and Brian, how they want to present themselves and the station. We're going to meet after the fund drive to firm up other things.
Is that the report?
I think so.
Thank you. Well, then just give us a chance to take questions. Jim,
well, other people might have, Lawrence and Omar and Novus might have other remembrances.
Okay, so there's not a single point person for the report necessarily?
Well, I am, but if they have other things I've forgotten, I'm happy to let
Before I take
them.
Questions, Lawrence, are you adding to the information? Then I'll call on you first, and then if there's still time remaining, I'll take questions.
I think this is a critical piece for the board. We have been able to secure translations for the town hall pro bono with just the lost cost of the equipment. So it essentially is a deposit. I wish Rodrigo was here, because we're trying to work on getting translations for the board for a translator to be here. So I would appreciate you working on that as well. And if Michael has something to add.
Did you say there was a cost associated with the translating equipment? Okay.
So
we need to do that through the station, authorize some money for deposit. Any idea what it is?
$150.
So we'll
The other question that came up at the meeting was going a little bit longer. There's a dance class in there until 2. That means we can't really start until 3. If we're only there until 6, we have to do cleanup. So we asked him to check on getting a longer time frame, maybe until 6:30, so we could clean up and have more chance for the
thank you. It looks like we have a question from Jim Lafferty.
You guys can be taking the microphone.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Well, it's not a question, it is a comment, and I'm not trying to derail anything for this particular meeting. The Masons have a long and rather unpleasant history of discrimination. and the fact that KPFK would be holding a meeting in Masonic, it's a building I will not enter.
Right.
And I'm a little sort of surprised. I have to assume it's kind of slipped through the radar somehow, and If we can change it, I would change it. And at any rate, I would strongly urge this board never again to book anything at the Masonic Temple for the Masonic Lodge. I mean, I'm sort of... Well, I'm not speechless, obviously, but I'd like to.
Well, thank you, and you don't have your Knights of Columbus card with you. Omar, you're next.
Thank you. I'm also part of the task force, and unfortunately, we didn't really elaborate on the content for the town hall to take place. We didn't even explain the subject matter for this town hall meeting to fulfill its mission, the specific mission. So I really want to encourage him and the rest of the task force that we should spend a whole lot of time in the subject matter for the town hall, then we probably could lead to someplace besides the Masonic Lodge mystery. Thank you.
I wonder what kind of dancers are teaching.
Yeah, I was familiar with that facility, but I hadn't told Kim about it because I'd gone there to take tango lessons. I went there to take a look at the facility. The dance class they were giving was like jazz, free expression meeting. They just rent the quarters out to anybody. I didn't have to go through any initiation to get in to look at the place or to take the tango lessons. Nor was I subjected to any religious iconology or anything. It's just a room with a wood floor. But it happened when I went up to talk to the gentleman running the place. They were having a meeting, which was the members of the lodge were there having coffee and bagels, and they were multi-ethnic. There was no discrimination in the membership. So I don't know what the history of the organization is or anything, but I don't consider that. I don't think that they're beyond the threshold. I could understand if it was the American Nazi Bund, but the Masons they do charity work.
And we're out of time. Thank you very much, and thank you for the town hall report and all the contributors. The next item on the agenda is our next public comment section. If there's a member of the board, Omar, do you mind being on microphone liaison for a few minutes?
No, I don't.
And just a reminder, everyone gets a minute and a half, and that allows us about five people to speak. I would request that if people have had a chance to speak, offer the next person a chance to speak so that you don't so we more fairly distribute the time. So we'll start our
people who are online.
Go ahead. Michael, I'm going to call on you. Bring up your volume. What are you saying, Michael? Can you bring up Michael Novick's microphone, please? There you go.
There were people who were online earlier getting the chance to speak. I think they should get the first chance to in the second round.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm going to make this
quick. Point of information.
There were people who were online.
Point of information.
Michael, please. Bella, just hold for a moment. Bella, just hold on for a moment. John, when you're through the microphone, you have a point of something?
Yeah, my point of information is if nobody here is freezing, would anybody mind if you open the door to cool the room down?
Really?
Yeah. It's kind of personal privilege to open the room up. It is a public meeting, so let's open the door.
Thank you.
Thank you. So you're making that a motion?
Well, it was the procedure last time that we asked the people who hadn't had the chance to speak or on the line the first time to come back for the second round. I think that's a reasonable procedure.
Just a request from the board, if you don't mind letting other people speak first, because you were first last time, that would be a reasonable thing to do. If you don't want to, then you have, I think, every right to speak.
Oh, come on.
I would like to.
So we'll hand her the microphone in a minute and a half. And if you go shorter, that's better for the people behind you.
Once again, I want the Malika Hotzer, Margaret Prescott, and Ian Mess to be reduced to 1 hour. It is unheard of that these people have been selected to chair and cover a national program on Pacifica that they have no knowledge of. They have done nothing to contribute to the dialogue of the 9/11 truth out information, and also the chemtrails, John Langer, the truth out coalition is the one with the video and the information regarding that. And I want, again, Bonar, you never addressed my question when I first asked you, how are you proposing to assess existing programming? If you have been stating steadily that you are comfortable with the way things are. And when you address the listeners, many people complained about the similar situation. There is no diversity of dialogue. There's no diversity of viewpoint on a geopolitical basis. So how can we move forward
if we have this impediment.
30 seconds, and I'll offer Bernard for 30 seconds to respond.
I'm well interested at the moment. I consider what Ian does to be valuable to the station, but if you were listening all the way, I also said my opinion doesn't actually matter.
Oh, yes,
it does. No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm there to program a station for the people who pay for the station and who listen to the station, and I will listen to them. If they like something more than I like something, more of them do, it won't be there. That's the rule.
Thank you. Next speaker for a minute and a half.
2 points. One, once again, since I guess 1983, I've been lobbying for, together with other folks, having Asian programming. And number two, of course, the question Chicano program. Point A. Point B, we recently, August 3rd, had a program, an anti-war program with a broad-based coalition. And when Cynthia McKinney finished speaking, of course, everybody ran up to her. And a member of the station board started attacking me and us because they said that the last time she spoke at the LSB town hall meeting, that Kate kept Kate paid the plane ticket for Cynthia McKinney. They started attacking me in front of 300 people. I paid the ticket out of my pocket, number one. At least gave a report to this board, number two, a written report with financial allocation. She then said, after she gave everybody a copy of the report, if anybody wants a receipt, please request or provide the receipt. But Kim, in front of 300 people, started yelling and attacking me in front of Cynthia McKinney. Some people in this room were witness to that. And I wish you could hold your members of the board. If they have an issue with me, raise it one-on-one. First of all, find out from the board what actually happened in terms of town hall meeting we have Cynthia McKinney. I paid for that out of my pocket. We did not get 1 cent from LSB or from the station. Myself, my legal, the organizers that paid for that. It was very disrespectful, and many of the station are very bad to attack KPFK and myself in front of 300 people. So please, could you hold back your criticism and raise it one-on-one privately, or verify, do your research instead of saying people got money, never paid it back. Basically, you said you stole money from KPFK. I've never once got 1 cent.
Thank you. And just a quick question. You mentioned an individual board member, but it wasn't clear. Who is the person that verbally attacked you?
Where is she at?
I didn't hear who you said it was.
Kim
Coffman. Thank you.
And I had Chris Harper to verify the paperwork. We got no money from LSB.
Thank you. Well, again, you know, this is the kind of behavior we need to look into. Razel, you have your minute and a half?
Yes, Mr. Bernard. There was a concert that the Iranian concert, about 1,500 were there, and they collected about $7,000-$8,000. The station supported and endorsed. What is our relation with the money that they collect? Because as the KPFK outreach member, any time we have an event, all the money is going to be returned to KPFK station. Another thing, we are going to endorse, the station is going to endorse 9/11 program, right? Are we going to endorse the Nader Day and May Day? Next month, it's a long march, you know, Labor Day, thousands of workers are going to be there. Are we going to be, some of our programs are going to be available there and have a live program at this event? Thank you.
And since you left 30 seconds for another chance to respond.
The reason the 9/11 program is happening right there is because it's the 10th anniversary. And that's what's being marked this time around. I can't ask you questions in any specific detail about those other commemorations.
Thank you.
The
next speaker, you have a minute and a half.
Yes, Bernard and board members,
We'll work on tomorrow.
Yes, I'm Dr. Thomas Talley. I've been associated with the station for some 40 years, one way or another. I'd like to suggest that the only way to handle our dwindling financial wherewithal and incidentally help change this pattern of longer and longer fund drives is to produce a larger listener base by targeting a larger marketing population by using alternative avenues of public contact, such as train, bus, and billboard ads. Also, then I want to say that I find certain aspects of fund drives lately to be very objectionable. There are a few of them. One, that typically we seem to have a huge amount of canned programs repeated endlessly. Number two, I found that often donation levels associated with some premiums to be ridiculously high. Number three, frequently there's a kind of pleading and grand professional pleading, cajoling feeling that can be very, very embarrassing, even pitiful. And number four, I would say that my experience is that much of the programming by people like Lisa Garr, Nina Valens, and Christopher Blasdale, and particularly during Fundrise, consists, I would say much of the programming consists of interviews with people with little or no, that is to say, little in the way of scientific credentials, and even of snake oil peddling, and even fraud. A good example of this would be the DirecTV deal that we soon discovered to be an absolute scam, and a couple of us finally managed to shut that down around last November. It's just absolutely a mess.
We're at our time, Dr. Howie. Thank you very much. And that's one, two, three, four. We have room for one more within this block.
I'm more than 60. Back when I was 50, there wasn't solutions for our air conditioning problem. This is my, well, I call it research. Our air conditioning problem is killing us. We get a deduction on our national tithing because we pay utilities for Archive. Archive had the least air conditioner in their cold room right now, and a little sign on it says it will take 30 days for that cold room to reach proper humidity and temperature because their air conditioning is not working. We are turning off our air conditioners for about 6 to 7 hours a night in order to torture volunteers to come in to use the computers. I don't know if you guys understand the word hysteris, but we pay a high price to reassert the proper conditions in the upstairs by turning those off and letting all that radiant energy back into the building. It's been suggested that I email board members with this. I emailed all the board members with 2 years' worth of electronic minutes when I was secretary for 2 years. Apparently, none of you have ever seen those electronic minutes. That's almost 24 months of electronic minutes carefully constructed and emailed to the board. So, would you like me to send an email on this?
Yeah, to me, please, because I need them.
Thank you, Doug. And that concludes the time during this public comment session. Before we move on to the next moment, the Governance Committee report.
I'd like to make a request of the people who made public comment. If they, specifically on the air conditioning and on the recommendation for advertising and fund drive considerations, to generate a written report and email it to the secretary, would that be okay? And what would the email address be?
They can talk to me about it.
They can come to John Gearing and get it directly.
And then, okay. Because you want what done with it?
It's useful information. I'd like to get a report from them. It sounded to me like what the listeners are saying.
We need to move forward with the TMB director's reports. Just a reminder, we have 20 minutes allotted for this, including discussion. So as streamlined as you can make them, the first alphabetical person here is Ken Aaron. We can take the microphone again and give off your PMB report.
Well, in this, for the sake of time.
And pardon me, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interject. But framing for the audience, the PMB, the specific national board are the delegates that we elect from this body to go to the national board. Thank you.
Okay. There's four from each station. I will yield any of my time to Summer Reese because Summer Reese is the chair of the Pacifica National Board, so she can make the best presentation and with the best discretion is what can be reported publicly.
Thank you. And the next person alphabetically, if you guys don't mind, we'll just go right down the list alphabetically, is Rodrigo Argueta. Is Rodrigo here? Stepped out? Then we'll jump to Lydia Brazan.
I sent out an email today because I won't go into all of the details, but we are having a Pacifica National Board meeting in September in Washington, D.C., and we are so pleased with the work that they did. I mean, it's just remarkable. There's going to be a night of jazz for those who are not familiar with WPSW. They are just known for their primo jazz collection and programming, as well as their progressive public affairs and so forth. But anyway, so we have a jazz night, a night where they have a play, and very importantly, we're going to get to participate in working the phone room and pitching on behalf of WCSW. They're going to be moving the station, and so we're going to be on air helping them to raise funds, which I think is going to be really good for all of us. But what's important is that the reason I sent it out to the board was because we're going to have to be doing the same thing at, I believe we're next in rotation to host the Pacifica National Board. Is that correct, Summer?
Yes, yeah, but I'll comment on that when it's my time.
And so whenever, I'm not giving the dates, I'm just saying whenever, if we are next in rotation, then we're going to have to do the same thing. And they've done such a wonderful job, including having all kinds of volunteers provide the food for the night with buy-in, blah, blah, blah. And it will give this board a chance to work together, where all of us between now and whenever that is can start looking for hotels and venues and things to do and whatever. And hopefully it will bring us together, because I think this is why it works so well at PSW. They do not have the same internal political dynamics that we do here and at other stations. And so, but it'll give us an opportunity to come together and work as a unified force.
Thank you, Lydia. Summer, and also there was an action item, what is it? To distribute the PMB agenda.
Yeah, I'm not sure why that's on the agenda again. I did that last month at the PMB meeting, and I'll do it this month at the PMB meeting also.
That was my typo.
Oh, okay, no problem. Yes, it'll be going out later this evening. Yes, and what Lydia said, WPSW is doing a very nice job. One of the key things that is different about this particular board meeting is because we were not able to achieve consensus on the national board earlier to have the required number of meetings that bylaws require. We did finally get settled on September as a meeting date, and we moved to have a four-day meeting rather than a three-day meeting to accommodate an extra full meeting day to hopefully accomplish more work, since we are having fewer meetings this year. So that's one of the things that is different about this meeting from prior meetings. So we will be meeting through till Monday afternoon instead of just Sunday afternoon. And WPFW has put a lot of great effort into this and is hoping to have some opportunities for board members to engage harmoniously with each other in a non-business way by attending some of these cultural events in the evening, and by having a four-day meeting, we should still be able to accomplish the necessary amount of work even doing that. And we're hopeful that some board members will volunteer with WPFW's fund drive on the Sunday evening of our meeting to, you know, interface with the audience there, to give support to our station, and to, you know, actually participate in what they're in the middle of, which is their fund drive. Our meetings have been going a little smoothly on the national level, some extra effort in terms of the notice requirements, and communications with board members have seemed to have netted some positive results in terms of getting through a greater amount of the agenda on each meeting, so I hope that trend continues. And as for KPFK, we are next in rotation, but I do think because of the strong resistance to having a required number of board meetings this year, I certainly would not project that we are going to have a board meeting within the current term in Los Angeles, unless we're planning to have one at Christmas here, essentially. So I think it would be premature for KPFK to start planning a meeting when the next meeting in rotation would be in January. Again, barring some event that would basically put us in the middle of either Thanksgiving or Christmas. So no one has moved to put another meeting on the agenda. And we were not able to get a June meeting scheduled, and it took several months to get a September meeting scheduled. So personally, as chair, I am not anticipating another meeting before the end of this term. However, and that means there may be different board members at the national level, you know, even at the local level, by the time it is germane to be planning our next meeting. But the next meeting would be in January. So, if you start giving it consideration for those people that know they're going to be here on the board next year, that is worthwhile. But it's probably, I'd say, a good 2-4 months off still. So, Lydia's points are well taken, that WPFW has done a tremendous job at keeping the cost down, finding a good hotel, and also putting some other things into the meeting that will be, I think, add some good quality to it. So we should think about that as well for our next meeting, because we will be the hosts at that time.
And we'll open up to questions, and if I just interject my idea, what is the PMB, other than meetings, what have we accomplished?
Oh, and it's so hard to say sometimes, really, in all honesty. We do a lot of legal stuff at executive session, and there should be some report out coming on that. That was our most recent meeting was an executive session legal matter, which I can't really say anything about here. So, that's a good deal of what's been going on at the national level. There are various committees. We have to engage an auditor this year, obviously. And there are things going on in several subcommittees to try and help streamline some of the administrative functionality of the network to bring it into compliance and make it more cost-effective. So, there are things ticking along at the national level to try and improve the network and show less litigation next year and improve finances for the network as a whole.
So we'll open up the question first. And I saw with Brenda, and I did then see Fred. We'll start a queue. So, Brenda?
Okay, so there's questions in regards to all PMA or whoever can answer this. I was elected onto the governance committee for the PMB, and I know, as far as I know from the PMB, there's been a lot of motions being passed, and yet we only met once. So is it possible to relay that message to the next PMB meeting that we need to meet?
Thank you. The next on the queue is Fred Glunder.
Yeah, two short questions, and love to be happy with the short answers. Summer, what can you tell us about the build back improvement in the financial status, both of the network as a whole and as concerns the individual station? Maybe take it under the rubric of the improvement of the situation as to working capital, something called out in the audit reports recently, and I believe repeatedly. Secondly, when will we have a meeting of the audit committee?
Thank you. Yes, actually, thank you, Fred. I was going to tell everyone here who's a member of the audit committee, and if there's no objections from anyone, I've spoken to a few other people that we meet on. And is my mic not on? Sorry.
No.
We should be meeting on Monday, August 29th, because we have a fifth Monday this month, so it's not a date already kidnapped by some other group. And that's the audit committee question. And in terms of finances, I mean, you know, I'll be honest, I don't see the type of improvement I'd like to see yet. You know, some of what we're working on is really implementation of policies to help reduce expenses in the coming year. As to how well we're doing now with actual working capital, I can't say that I see tremendous improvement. I mean, you know, I'm not the CFO, but every time I look at financial reports, they're not, I'm not one to paint rosy pictures, let's put it that way. I wouldn't say no improvement, but nothing, I'd have to actually look at it. I wasn't planning to give a financial report tonight, and perhaps I should do that for our next meeting and bring some financial reports for the local board. That might be helpful. But as of the last PMB meeting last month, we still had a tremendous amount of debt as a network, and that's just reality. You know, bills are being paid. We're not being sued over our bills, but we still have a tremendous amount of debt. Yeah.
Thank you. Next question here from Michael Novick.
This is actually a couple of comments. Margie and I were elected to both the National Programming Committee and the National Elections Committee. Both of those committees have been meeting. They're telephonic meetings, and they're available. They're streamed live while they happen over at KPFTX, I think. So the Programming Committee will be this Friday night, the 19th at 5 p.m. local time, if anybody wants to listen as it goes on. The National Programming Committee did pass a resolution last time based on a motion from Rodrigo Agueta to create a national task force to implement the PMB resolution passed some years ago for national Spanish language newscast. And the task force will try to engage the five local stations and affiliates in the process of developing a program, a national statistical program to meet the needs of the Spanish speaking community. And the election committee has been looking at the question of hiring professional election companies. So we're in the process of trying to get a number of different companies to conduct the specific elections. Point of which also is that there is no election this year, so this LLC is not going to change in January, or it might change the national directors.
Yeah. Thank you. Is there another person? Okay. Marty?
Well, just adding to Michael's great report there, they did, the elections committee
is going to areas that I think everybody might be interested with electronic voting versus ballot voting. So they did say if anybody would like to help work, they're going to put together small working groups. So if you have the time, energy, and desire to help out, I contact either Michael or myself, and we'll put you in touch with the person heading out within the group.
Thank you, Margie. Are there any other PMB committee members that feel you need anything to report to the group? Not seeing any hands. Any further questions for any member of our any of our PMB directors? Excellent. We will move forward. And thank you all four of you for those great reports and the committee members as well. The next up is the governance committee report, which John Wenger. Yes. You're welcome to give a governance committee report. And then after that, we'll be able to do public comment. And then we'll, if there's any motions, we can speak to those after the public comment.
Yeah, thank you. The first item about Spanish language translation has already been covered. The situation is that for a $150 deposit, we can pick up this the gear and use it any time. So I think we ought to figure out a way to do that so that you know, perhaps a check, which is never cashed and goes to them and goes back and forth, or even a check maybe that stays there, we could save a lot of time if they had the check on record and only cashed it when we broke the equipment, and then we never have to get a check again.
If we break it.
Yeah. Right. So I was going to suggest that to Bernard as just as a time-saving suggestion, so somebody else just remember to tell him that. Now, with regard to the LSB staff adequate policy, we did not get around to addressing that. Instead, we focused on LSB to LSB decorum issues, and so we have motions to that effect. And so I'd like to read the first motion. The first motion is: members of the LSB and its subcommittees shall not insult each other during meetings. The chair of the committee or the body shall ask consultants to leave the meeting for the first offense. Subsequent offenses shall suspend members for the remainder of the meeting and for the entire next meeting. Quorum for the next meeting shall be adjusted so as not to penalize the committee body.
Question, do you have a written version of that?
Yeah. It's right here.
Okay, that's right there on your computer.
Yeah.
Do you have a written version of that that's tangible that I can hold on to and read myself?
Not yet.
You don't? There's no printout of it.
Yeah, correct. Point of order.
Point of order, Michael.
Just to be clear, the governance committee did not have a quorum at that meeting, so none of these resolutions are coming from the governance committee. These were proposals that were discussed and not voted on.
That's correct. These motions really come from me.
Then you're making the motion.
Yeah, I'm making that motion.
Okay, and what we'll do, if there's a second, we'll consider it a second, and we'll take all your motions forward after public comment, then we will vote on them. That's what the board agreed to do at the end of the meeting. So you've stated your motion. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Seeing a second from Lamont Yeke. Okay, so the motion is moved and seconded, and we'll hear from the public before we complete our discussion on that.
Okay.
So
we're going to debate the motion?
Yeah, we'll have a chance. Would you like to debate the motion
first?
And
point
of comment first.
We're just saying.
I'm just going to ask you something.
I think the board should have debate, and then
very good.
Yes, and to the what I did is I addressed four issues separately to keep it simpler, because the issues, frankly, are insults and taunts and yelling and interruptions. These are four separate things, and if we put them all into one motion, then the debate will be very complex. So I wanted to handle them individually and to start with verbal insults, because, well, that's a timely thing, as we all know. So that's why I did it.
To clarify, it's essentially the same motion, but with sort of one action word changed in each. And the first one would be about insults, the second one about taunts, the third one about yelling, the fourth one about interruptions.
Correct. That's exactly right.
Chair, point of order?
Lawrence?
It seems like that will be out of order, because there was a second to the motion, not the second to divide the motion or to individualize it. So I think
respectfully that John is clarifying what he has already said. His motion originally was about insults. Am I correct, John?
We can do it whichever way makes the most sense from Robert's rules.
How do you want to proceed with your motion?
We all know each other. I think it's simplest to handle one motion at a time, and then maybe we get one thing done, and if there's more time, we'll move to the second motion.
And the second motion being?
Tauntings.
Okay, and the third being, is there another motion or another topic? You're also bringing a motion to the body? Or just this set of four that's essentially the same?
There's more to report.
Okay. Since we made a motion and a second, we can have our discussion. We'll then let you finish your report. We'll then let the public comment on the motions, and then we'll have our vote. Is that acceptable to everybody?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
It needs to be discussion.
We will have discussion. That's what I just said. Thank you very much, Leonard. So we'll open the discussion on these motions. First hand I see was Jim, then Ken, then Sequoia, and we'll work our way around the room. Then I stand corrected because there was a list made to my left out of my eyesight. Lawrence was first on the list.
I didn't know that was what I heard. I believe this whole motion was out of order because there was not quorum at the governance committee. Because we have a report without a quorum being present as a committee. So I believe that this is out of order.
My understanding is that John is making this motion as an individual, not representing the committee.
Respectfully, Chair, he's making a report from the governance committee.
Next in line is Michael Novick. Did you have Jim was on for a long time. Go ahead, Jim.
All right. John, I am totally sympathetic to what you're trying to do. I mean, I've sent emails around to all the board. I've spoken to individual board members about this. I'm absolutely furious when this kind of outrageous behavior happens. But frankly, as the motion is drafted, if any action was taken pursuant to it, and the process by which the action would be taken is totally unclear in the motion, it wouldn't pass muster in any court, I can tell you, for its vagueness. What is a taunt? What is a shout? Or what is an insult? We know what we're trying to get to, and I applaud you for trying to get to it, and I think we do have to get to it. But this motion would be chaos. There'd be no way to enforce this motion in any kind of objective way, if you will. No one would know how loud a voice was a shout. No one would know what constituted a taunt to one person would simply be an offhanded, sarcastic remark to another. And the notion that you could suspend an elected board member through whatever process you haven't bothered to describe in this motion would be contrary to the national bylaws and to state law, frankly.
Can I respond to that, please?
Yes, John.
Yeah, I can go on amp with that.
Yeah. Point of order, Mr.
Can
Chair.
Address you?
A point of order. I think you should use a cue and not go back and forth because it doesn't allow equal debate. If you just go back and forth, then somebody makes a statement, then the person motivating the motion goes on and challenges. It goes back and forth. I don't think that's the proper way to handle a motion. I think you're supposed to take a cue and just go around the cue.
Chair, in this instance, what we've done in the past, my understanding is we let, if a member of the board is making an accusation or statement about the first one, we let him clarify.
I don't think that was an accusation. It was he was discussing the motion. And I want to discuss the motion, and other people are on the queue to discuss the motion. To go back to the motivator just makes it a dialogue, which is not the way we conduct these kind of meetings for Robert's rules. We're supposed to go by queue, and each person talks to it. After it's motivated, the motivator can speak last.
And you've motivated your point well. Lydia, you're next in the queue.
Yes, I was going to recommend that given that we didn't have quorum, it was very short notice, most of us had no idea, it changed our regular night that we meet, etc. I recommend that we refer this back to governance with a full meeting. I would also like to ask, and I don't want to put him on the spot, but having someone like Steve assist at the meeting, because some of these issues have to do with perception of things, right? And I think it just needs to be worked out more. I agree with Jim that it is that we want to be able to have meetings that we can get through to business and not offend people whenever possible and so forth, but I think it needs more work, and I think that what it lacked was having more input at a fully attended governance committee meeting. So I move that it be referred back to governance.
I second.
Chair. And we have a second from Lawrence.
I'd like to amend the motion.
We've got Sequoia is next.
I don't know why I wasn't recognized. I had raised my hand.
She was on the list. Really. Okay. She's been on the queue. You just spoke and shared that.
No, I didn't speak. I made a point of
objection. If we can hand her the microphone, we'll get through this much quicker.
Sure.
Lawrence?
Yeah. That motion is just point of order. That motion is president.
The motion is to strike the initial motion. The motion is
to refer.
To refer back. Any objection to the motion to refer back to government and move forward?
Yeah, I've got that.
We have an objection. Okay, the motion to refer it back to the governance committee, because you came as a representative of the governance committee and then you made a motion on your own behalf. I will call for a vote on that to send it back to governance where it can be further vetted before it comes back to this body. So by show of hands, those in favor of sending John's personal motion back to governance for further vetting, show of hands in favor. Show of hands, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 in favor. Those against sending it back to committee, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Kim, is your hand up? 6, 7. So 13 to 7, is that correct, John? You confer?
Yes.
So motion to go back to the committee. And so you guys prefer to vet those, perhaps with better. Is my cable not working?
No, we just saw this table, careful, table number 2.
Thank you.
Because we saw that
black.
Should
be fine.
Okay.
Mine should be fine, but it's
okay.
Thank you. All right. So you want to give the rest of your report, John?
Yeah.
Can we release the slack on that microphone? Mm-hmm. Finding out the whole gun works.
It was for needed volume bump testing. 1, 2, 3, testing. 1, 2, 3, testing. 1, 2, 3, testing. 1, 2, 3.
I've got
testing.
It here.
You're hot.
Testing. There we go.
I got one of the chair.
Lawrence Reyes. Lauren, the point is that this report is out of order, and I ask you to make a decision on that. Why is out of order? Is because what should be reported is last month's report from the governance committee, which had quorum. Are you saying that the last month the governance committee didn't give the report, so they're going to give the report they would have given last month this month?
It
seems to me that this can be a cumulative report from the last 2 months, because if we have to just give last month's report and then leapfrog, we're going to get farther and farther behind. So, John, if you could include anything
Point of order.
John Crenshaw, can we hand the microphone to John Crenshaw, please?
Lawrence, point is well taken. Recognize that it's not a report of a committee, and therefore should not be given as a committee report,
because there was no quorum.
Was going into the story.
Okay, I understand your point. So, John Winger, as the chair of the committee, I would like you to offer a report for the missing month's report, and whether there was a quorum or not. I don't see any reason why you can't report on what was discussed at this last meeting. So bring us up to date with the action of the governor.
Point of order.
We have Kim.
I believe there wasn't quorum at the previous meeting either.
Okay. I think Summaries, can we hand the microphone to her, John?
To be a technocrat, I mean, I think what everyone's point of order is the same thing, is that regardless of whether it's a committee or the board, is if there is a quorum, there's no report to be given, and that's just the way it is. And it's not because you're not supportive of the people who did show up at the meeting, but it's not a report of a meeting if there's no meeting, because there's no meeting when there's not quorum, and that's always the way it is, regardless of what type of meeting it is.
What was the date of the meeting?
Obviously, people read Robert's Rules of Order correct. This is another example of why Robert's Rules of Order is not the best way to conduct a meeting. Certainly, one thing to say is if there wasn't a quorum at a committee meeting, they ought not to, their report is not official, you ought not to be able to take it as a motion to them and so forth. But when people work hard, people that do show up at these meetings, and I know this committee works very hard, it seems to me it's silly and rude not to, to stand on ceremony and not at least hear what they discussed. Now, if somebody wants to make a motion on that, then I'm with you on this point of order under Robert's Rules of Order. But otherwise, you're just getting silly and legalistic and strikes me that's not the spirit of what we have all about.
Thank you, Jim, and I'm frankly inclined to agree with you, and so that the work of the committee members that were there for governance is honored and we have a sense of what happened, I will request the committee chair to offer his notes on what has occurred in the last two meetings. Obviously, you're not in a position to bring forth official motions from the body of whether a quorum, but if you'll offer your report that you've prepared, I'm sure there's members of this board that want to hear the processes of governance. Do you mind, John?
There was a quorum at the previous meeting.
I was there as well. I believe there was a quorum there as well. John Winger?
Yeah, I'm waiting for my machine to bring up the spreadsheet I have. I want to check this quorum thing here because I want to verify the actual facts. But meanwhile,
it doesn't sound like there's any heavy motions coming forth that we have to worry about anyway, so you can spill off your report.
Yeah, with my. The machine is, here we go. I believe it was reported in open session at the last meeting that perhaps a board member may have publicly made some comments critical of a staff member, some people at the governance meeting were insistent, adamant that this be addressed, and they asserted that this was in fact illegal behavior. And one member of the committee agreed, I believe, if I remember correctly, to look that up and to show that it really was in fact illegal. Because if it is illegal, then we're bound to follow it. But if it's not illegal, then we can do something else, and we can have an open speech policy and not have a gag rule. But so that research remains to be done, and that research is being undergone.
John, I'm getting a point of order from Lawrence Ray.
Sure.
The board just voted to have to report out of the executive committee, and that's what John is doing.
No, John's
reporting on what was discussed at a public governance committee.
Can I finish, Jim?
No, public governance.
Please, hold on, John.
He's discussing pertinent stuff that may have happened at that executive session. That's essentially he's implying it, if he's not directly saying it.
No.
John Winger?
It was reported in the LSB meeting that this event happened. That was, and I believe Summer Reese made
point
the report.
Point of order.
Summer Reese, can you hand the microphone?
Yeah, sure.
Summer Reese was very careful not to say anything except that we needed to meet in executive session to discuss something that had occurred at an outreach committee meeting, not mentioned board members, staff members, or any other members. I think this entire line of inquiry is inappropriate in public session.
Yes.
I think that we need to go to executive session if we're going to discuss this. I do think these matters need to be dealt with, as do any other matters which may have transpired since then, but I do not think they are meet for a public meeting, and I think this line of inquiry should cease at this point.
So, John, I
move to stop this particular discussion.
John,
at this point,
we
go into executive session.
Thank you, Summer.
Thank
John,
you.
Will you take that under advisement and complete your report minus information regarding what might have been in our executive session, please?
Yes, I will, and I have a point of information. Do the bylaws not require us, when we do go into executive session, to report out at the next meeting the results of the general topic of our previous executive session? I understand from
to answer your question, since you weren't here at the beginning of the meeting when we discussed it at length.
The bylaws, yeah.
Yes, we had a vote, and we have moved on from that. Okay, we did not report out. And it's not happening at this meeting. That was a vote that passed already. This is business from this morning.
No, but you're right.
My question was, do the bylaws require it? I understand the LSB voted not to do it, but do the bylaws require it?
Yes.
Yes.
Got it.
Thank you, Summer.
I would like to notice or move to put time on next month's session for an executive session, please. Thank you to resolve these issues.
Thank you. And would you please do me the service of sending me an email to
of
that?
Of course.
So
I will. I just wanted to publicly.
Our time has expired for the governance report. Jim Lafferty.
At this point, we don't know what the term of these issues all encompasses, correct? It could be things not yet mentioned here tonight.
Certainly. Any issues.
Or even in your mind.
Not a discussion.
Sorry. Yes.
No.
I just want to have executive session on the agenda.
On
on anything that might qualify as coming up under this kind of issue.
Amen.
All right. Hallelujah.
Thank you. So we finished our PMB director's report and our governance committee report. The next thing we moved this morning, at the beginning of the meeting, was to make a public comment section during this time. So there will be 7.5 minutes if you'd like to queue up. And again, if you didn't speak earlier, it'd be great if you went earlier this time. Everyone gets a minute and a half until the time is exhausted. If you do have a question of a specific board member or the general manager, allow time within your minute and a half for them to answer. Otherwise, the time expires. So we'll take the first comment. If you don't mind saying your name, just introduce yourself.
My name is Dele. For the chairperson of the PND, the general manager, and to the chairman of the LSB and the corporate, I want to make it clear here that some of us have been very respectful of this process. On 13th of August 2004, the African Radio Collective organized a large meeting in a place called the Star Center Library. And that was where the whole process of the reawakening of the Committee Advisory Board was set in motion. I was part of it. Because we know how important the Committee Advisory Board is to this process, and because we know the importance of KPFK in the evolving historical process in this country, we have refused to make any noise about this. I'm therefore appealing to the LSB this evening to urge Kwasi to immediately open up the cap to the members of the community who wish to participate in that process. Yeah. I come from a country that understands coup and taking over government, which means we could actually set up another committee advisory board. But we know that will be detrimental to the affairs of Pacifica and KPSK. My dear sister, I appeal to you to send a note to Kwasi to immediately make sure that the process of the committee advisory board is in consonance with what the LS, with what specific constitution and the like. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dylan.
Next. Hello, my name is Andrew Altamirano, and my question is for the general manager. Earlier you said that you would pay attention to the listeners and their opinions regarding matters. Well, with regards to Ian Masters, I understand that he has been verbally attacking. I have heard verbal attacks of other programmers on the air, as well as other programmers and listeners. And personally, I feel that Ian Masters has no place on the Pacifica airwaves. This is my opinion, and I would like you to listen to that because I know other people agree with me. And I'm going to keep my question brief because I would like to know what type of action you plan to take, because I feel that some corrective action is definitely in order. Thank you.
You've got that voice there.
My understanding, Andrew, thanks for the question, is that there was one incident where an issue was raised about something that Ian Masters broadcast, and I can tell you it has been dealt with internally.
Thank you, Bernard. Our next speaker, let me set my little timer here. Go ahead.
Hi there. I have another subject altogether to bring up. I was at one of the early CAB Einstein meetings that Kwasi was talking about, and I briefly concurred with him. He agreed with me, and we brought it up once before. I think my daughter did, but I think it's appropriate to bring it up now, that a practical thing that could be done to improve things in the community came out of it, which was the business of assigning support our new general manager, basically, Bernard, to pick somebody. I'm not sure who's right, so that's for you to decide, but who can scan the police reports every morning where they announce the intended locations of stopping people to check their driver's license, sobriety, etc., which are used to catch a lot of people up who don't have licenses and relieve them of their cars. This can have an impact which can destroy people's lives. And since it's a very unfair fascist practice, but it is required, I think, because of ACLU action, that the police post the locations of these intended intersections where they're going to stop people. that somebody at the station should take it upon themselves to look this up every morning, make it 2 minutes. It wouldn't take more than 2 or 3 minutes at the top of an hour, long way to do news bulletins. News of local, very important news that have a tremendous impact on our community here in Los Angeles. Just simply make an announcement for people listening to the radio where these checkpoints are going to be during the day. And
that's
they don't do a million of them, so it shouldn't
affect
everybody's programming
for
very long.
Thank you. Let's accommodate the next speaker. Thank you very much.
And our next speaker is Israel Boyer. Just a 2 or 3 comments. I missed the beginning of the meeting, and I apparently decided not to discuss the executive session. I don't know the details of the general idea, but what I know, I don't see any basis to have an executive session if we're dealing with members of this committee's relations. This is not a personnel matter, this is the management of the staff. Show me in the bylaws where it says that's appropriate, aside from the matter of reporting or indicating the nature of such executive sessions. I think it's inappropriate. The question is, how do we deal with our problems in an appropriate way? And maybe a formal session isn't the way to deal with them at all after all these years. In short, we need to open up our minds to other ways to deal with interpersonal problems, whether it's insults or bad manners or whatever. But I don't think an executive session is the way to do it. And if you have an executive session which is appropriate, then it needs to be reported out. I don't see any way around that. Another thing I mentioned last time, and again, probably, the lack of participation and constructive participation of that in our committees, whether it's the CAB or any of our other committees, they aren't showing the kind of work that they're supposed to be doing, which is to do the kind of work which provides the basis for the board as a whole to efficiently use its time to do things that are to advance the station. There's a lot of wasted time and lack of proper
Thank
education.
You very much. Thank you.
That's it?
That's your time. And Mary, you're next. This is our final speaker for this session.
I'm Maria.
Maria,
sorry. I think I told her that. But she was nice to me. Right in front of her. So let me just quickly tell you what I want to say. There's two things. First of all, from my experience and from all the people who I constantly refer back to KPFK, I pass out cards, I talk to people, strangers, I meet people everywhere, and I tell them about programs that I like, and I tell them to look on this website, see what programs they like, and choose the ones that they like, because you're not going to like them all. I don't like them all. And I've been listening to a lot of them, and sometimes I can't, so mad, I just turn away and open my door. Now, because one person doesn't like somebody, and somebody else likes somebody, I don't think that we need to be selective and only choose one style, one group, one whatever, and that's not what KPFK is supposed to represent. So the answer is to censor because we don't have to like this one or that one. I don't like you, I don't like you, I don't like you. Oh, sure, okay. That's important to live up to what we claim we are, which is idealistic and fair, blah, blah. Second thing about the CAB. A few years ago, there was some meeting where about 30 people came to a meeting at the station with the CAB. Kwasi was there, the first time I met Ken Aaron was there. There were power struggles between some men trying to take control when they didn't have any yet. And all I ever saw was people just trying to get on to show they were going to do something. They didn't represent anybody. They couldn't claim or state what group they were from or who they were representing back again. Same thing with you all, by the way. I have a problem with that. I don't know why I'm talking to one person and they have power as if they had a group standing behind them.
Thank you very much for your time. So again, a reminder, we do these public comments in a total of 30 minutes for the meeting and divided into 4 groups of 7.5 minutes, into a minute and a half each. It's 5 people per group. The next item on the agenda is the Personnel Committee Report. John Crumshaw, can we hand him a microphone? Excuse me. Oh, that's right. We have an insert. I'm sorry. My writing is horrible. The Program Director Search Committee. And Ali, are you going to report on that?
No, I said you were going to entertain a motion after the public comment.
Yes. Well, actually, we don't have a motion. This was in case we had a motion from the PMB directors or governance, then this gave us a chance to hear the motion, comment on it here, comment from the public, and then vote.
Because I had a motion about...
Can we hand him the microphone? I'm going to address you, John. I'll give him the microphone.
I just had a motion about one of the public comments. I wanted to get out whenever it's appropriate.
Well, I'll let you interject it now.
Yeah, okay. Well, we, very quickly, you know, we have a very inspiring anti-war event at FCIU 731 Union Hall, about 300 people attended. And just what I just heard from a public comment that possibly someone was attacked for who was a co-sponsor of that event, and who was has a leader of a well-respected organization in the Black community, and so it worries me that a KPFK board member may have confronted him and accused not only this well-respected person, but also a well-respected former congresswoman of some corruption in front of a lot of people. So just worried about that, concerned about that, because as you know, what we do in public, it reflects on not only our board, but also KPFK, and the added dynamic of attacking two Black individuals and accusing them of corruption. I think we need to look into this, so I'd like to have a motion to have an ad hoc committee investigate this occurrence and come back to the next meeting with some recommendations to see what went on.
Point of order.
Second.
Point of order.
Okay, we have a second. Anderson, point of order,
summary. It falls under Robert Jewell's order under the exact same dynamics for why I said we need to have an executive session. No, anything which involves conduct of a board member, which might entail censure or other, and is going to entail an investigative committee, Robert Jewell's order is very specific about that you discuss that in executive session. You see what the appropriate measures are, and if an investigative body is to be formed, it's formed as a result of what occurs in executive session after the members deliberate on the occurrence. It's wholly inappropriate to discuss it in open session or to move to form a committee without first discussing it in executive session to see if that's appropriate.
I think, respectfully, the purpose of John Parker's motion is to investigate whether or not anything happened. If you go into an executive session and without any facts,
point of order.
How do you think you can't?
The chair is not the judge.
Not been addressed.
You don't have the right to judge on the motion.
I will gladly address you.
Point of order. Does not have to be addressed. He just calls out and you recognize him.
John Parker, I will gladly address you as well. Once I address you, I'll gladly entertain your point of order.
Just ask the first point, that's all.
John, thank you for your outburst as well. I just want to finish my point, and you can rebut.
You're the chair. You are engaging in debate. The chair should not engage in debate.
Chair,
please recognize his point.
The first person I will recognize is Ken Aaron.
Okay, thank you. I just, on the aside, the chair is just to moderate the meeting. You vote if there's a tie, or you can make the tie. I concur with Summer's statement. It's in Chapter 20 of Robert's Rules of Order. Disciplinary actions are handled in closed session, and that's where you determine whether or not there should be a disciplinary action or a committee or whatever is going to be addressed. It's not to be held in open session. If we were to do that, a series of actions which have occurred in public could be made, and we would just it'll turn into a food fight. Because things have happened in the community at various meetings.
Yes.
This has to be happening. Censorship or discipline of board members happening in a closed session. Robert's Rules of Order, Chapter 20, discipline.
So the actual discipline itself.
No, discussion of the discipline.
The discussion, you're saying. I just want to clarify what you're saying. Jim Lafferty, was next. Could you hand him your microphone?
Yes.
Yeah. And next is Lawrence.
But you're quite right at Robert's Rules again, you know. But you're jumping the point. If I understand John's motion, and if not, I'll ask John if he'll accept a friendly amendment to his motion. I didn't hear John making a motion to censor anyone or punish anyone. I heard John making a motion to have somebody look into an incident. If they look into that incident, they decide. No, you know, legalistic doesn't just work when you're at the mic. If in fact that leads to a call for discipline, then you're quite right. And there would be an executive session about that. Frankly, I wouldn't hope it would call for discipline, because it would be retroactive. There is no rule on this board right now that would make whatever, if the charge is true, there's no rule in effect right now that we'd be able to apply unless you wanted to create a new rule and then apply it retroactively, which is outrageous. So we wouldn't do that anyway. So what all the motion, John, if you'll accept my friendly amendment, is simply that we look into the matter, and frankly, in the meanwhile, we ought to simply apologize for the embarrassment caused to a former congresswoman and to a respected member of this community for any embarrassment that was caused whatever the cause of it might have been. And I would certainly make that motion as well.
The next person on the queue is Lawrence.
Yes.
Except that for the other.
In Robert's Rules of Order, there's also a section that states that it's the chair of this board, and you being the chair,
right.
You could appoint a task force.
Yeah.
You yourself could appoint a task force, hopefully equally and evenly divided in terms of partisanship. And nobody's talking about discipline, Ken. Nobody's talking about punishment. We're just talking about gathering the facts.
Thank you, Lawrence. The next person's hand was Summer Reese.
Yeah, I mean, to be even-handed, then I'm surprised we haven't formed a task force to investigate what occurred at the Outreach Committee in Orange County. My entire point is that to even discuss what has occurred with anyone, you are supposed to go into executive sessions so you can discuss whether or not you are appointing an investigative committee to look into it. That's what Robert's Rule says. And as odious as they may be, they are the governing document outside of the bylaws. So if we want to, as Ken said, get into every matter that has occurred, which may appropriately require looking into over the last 2 to 3 months regarding members of this board, and we want to do them all in open session, it is very violative of the rules that govern our body. So it is completely and grossly unfair to decide that we will do that to one member, but not to other members, all of whom we, you know, I think being even-handed, these are all similar types of allegations, and they require discussion in closed session, and out of that, you decide what to do, including who the heck is going to investigate what and how that is decided.
Thank you. John Crumshaw, next on the queue.
Out of
respect for what Summer said, this is correct. This is the procedure that we followed according to Robert's rules the last time that such an action was taken in the previous year when I was chair. And it has to be done very carefully, not in a public meeting, to avoid any kind of tainting of the person's reputation in public, and that the body that is designed to deal with it, the LSB, deals with it in a closed session. That is simply to protect the rights of all people. Otherwise, we have accusations flying back and forth, and we don't end up with any kind of civilized procedure. So the reason that we need to follow this, and the reason that I followed it the last time, and in fact, when we had the LSB closed session, we had somebody come and speak about parliamentary procedure, of what would be followed, and why this procedure is necessary and how it should be done in closed session. This is all to respect people and respect their rights, because if we allow one person to be accused and then the next one is accused and the next one is accused and we start to do this in a public meeting, chaos results. Thank you, John Crumshaw. Next on the queue is Leonard Eisenberg. We have a microphone.
Yeah, Robert's Rules of Order and Parliamentary Procedure are one thing. A violation of the Nonprofit Corporate Title I, Section 5223, removal for cause and grounds for action, covers this. This is a very serious matter. This is not about free speech. This is not about gag orders. This is about what you do in terms of loyalty as a board member and a fiduciary duty you have to this organization. And that needs to be considered. It needs to be done in closed session.
Thank you. Are there any comments on this, Lydia Brisson?
Yes, at the PNB level, not this year, but in previous years, we had an ongoing committee of a committee to investigate racism and sexism. That was done in open session in terms of the forming the committee and having the committee investigate. Now, the committee certainly knew that already had in its hands what was considered to be something, personnel issues and so forth, that have to be dealt with in executive session. But the formation of a committee to investigate was done in open session year after year. So I don't know why a group of LSD members cannot look into it. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm looking for the section in the bylaws which supersedes Roberts, which says that it is the board who decides what is going to be an executive session.
That's right.
It is not Robert's Rules. It is the board. And in terms of what Mr. Eisenberg said, although that's true, but that is also, as has been defined by the virtue of past lawsuits in Pacifica, where board members sued Pacifica, and the Attorney General sat them as the governing board.
That's right.
Three bodies sued Pacifica: the directors, the local station board, and the listeners. they became and constituted three-quarters of the PMB. So.
Thank you, Lydia.
Unless you know what you're talking about and have really looked into it and have the experience, please talk to those who do, including lawyers.
Thank you. And just because Lamont has not spoken, can we hand him the microphone? Do you mind handing him that microphone?
Well, just briefly, in all respect, I would ask a member of Lamont. John to give us that specifically in the bylaws that she refers to.
I will.
Secondly, the issues that she prefaced, which were discussed openly, are different from the issues that we're talking about now, which may involve personnel matters of members of this board. A different topic, a different theme, a different subject than the matter that Lydia referenced.
Thank you, Lamont. Summer?
Yeah, to address that, a standing committee on racism and sexism has absolutely nothing to do with an investigation of a particular individual for a particular allegation of a particular incident. It's a totally different situation. You have a committee that sees if the body is acting in a non-racist and non-sexist manner. That has nothing to do with someone saying, I want to have a committee formed to investigate a fellow board member for a specific action. So it has no applicability to this situation that there was an ongoing standing committee. I have a motion to make. I move that Mr. Parker's motion be moved to executive session for further discussion. If I have a second?
I second the motion.
Thank you. Because it's totally irrelevant discussion otherwise.
So calling for a second of Summer's motion.
He got one right here.
Sorry, what was the motion?
I did not call for the second, so that's why I'm taking it. So you taking the reins?
No, I just want to stay clear that a standing committee is not the same as an investigative committee of a particular individual. And he called out the second, so I didn't ask.
The motion.
And can you restate the motion?
The motion is, respectfully, to move discussion of Mr. Parker's motion into executive session at our next meeting. That's all.
Right, I understand we have a second on that, and there were some more comments that were made. Kim, since you were mentioning this, I'm going to offer you the opportunity to speak now.
First of all, I think it's interesting that no one asked me, I might have said it, and that this is being handled differently than how we handled other accusations where we asked the person what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think they all ought to be dealt with in the same way. So, thank you.
I agree with that.
Thank you, Lawrence. You have your stuff.
The only difference between this one and the other one was that a board member brought up the issue of the allegation of possibility of a board member being out of line. In this instance, there was a member of the public who also happened to be a program at the station. So, to conflate one as being more germane and more informed than the other is really unfair. To this programmer, and also to the fact that, I'm not going to go any further.
Thank you. And I understand that the public doesn't have an executive session to go into. It's not an option.
I'm speaking to Summer's motion to move this to executive session to make it clear to everybody. If you just look around the room and look at this logically, we don't want these meetings to devolve down to, I want to make a motion that I saw Fred Klunder abusing his pet. And this means KPFK and its activity unbecoming a board member. And I want to accuse John Gary of joining the Nazi Brothers or something. You make up allegations. You go crazy. And this is not a court of law. And the actions like that are handled in closed sessions. It's in Robert's Rule 22, and it's also in the bylaws. I don't know what Lydia could possibly be discussing. This is not the activities of the open meetings in this venue. It just shouldn't be. We'll just degrade down to insanity if we do that. And to bring it up, what the public has the right to say anything they want. As I've been on this board, I've had multiple accusations made about me and my personal life by the public at those mics. And fine, so what? The public can say what they want. It's fine. I don't even have to stand up and defend myself.
But to then have the board member say, I want to validate a statement made by a public individual, and I call for an investigation, well, that's fine. Let's move it to closed session.
Both incidents have to do with programmers and the public. So they're really, like, kind of conflating or trying to make a difference when I don't see the difference.
Next in the queue is Jim Lafferty.
I think what Jim just said is correct. I think much of what Jen Ehrlich just said is correct. I think much of what Reese said is correct. What Lydia said is correct. This is another example of how we're digging ourselves into a hole that we don't need to dig ourselves into. Frankly, I don't think we should be retroactively trying to discipline any member of this board for anything they might have said or done before tonight and before we have in place some clear rules as to what they would be violating. And that wasn't, in fact, the spirit of John's motion. It wasn't to lead to the punishment of anything. Really, I just talked to John about that. What we were actually looking for was simply some expression of, not to criticize any board member, but some expression of apology to the former congresswoman and to a respected member of the KPFK family and community for what turned out, for whatever reason, to have been an embarrassing moment. I don't interrupt you. Gibson, don't interrupt me. And that's all we were looking for. Now, if there's no way to do that without all of the would-be lawyers in the room turning to page 3006 of the Robert's Rules of Order, then I guess we're screwed. But if we can't just have a little common sense, let's move back from the abyss. I don't think it makes any sense to go down the road that we're now seem to be going down, where we're going to be trying to have trials of this one or that one based on rules that didn't exist when they did whatever they did or didn't do. That's what we should be doing, is coming up with some rules that we can use prospectively if board members do that. I vote for that. In the meanwhile, I can't vote for Reese's motion or for, frankly, anything else tonight that makes
any
sense.
Thank you, Jim. And let me take Chuck Anderson, let me put my own comment in a moment.
Okay, Summer emphasized that it was not a racial issue, and you all sit here dumbfounded and agree, or didn't disagree. I disagree. It is a racial issue. It's white people against black people.
Chuck, thank you. So let me pose this idea before the board. Folks,
we have a motion on the floor.
Yeah, there's a motion.
We have two
on the
floor.
Absolutely. Folks, if you'll please allow me this moment, Margie.
I'm sorry. The hypocrisy from that man.
Margie, please.
The chair should not engage in debate, please.
John Crumshaw.
Point of order.
Thank you, John Crumshaw.
Not
engaging in debate. Thank you very much. Let me accommodate your direction, if you will. If it pleases the board, we'll take a vote on this if you guys think this is reasonable and get down to nuts and bolts. There was, I'm being told that there was an ethics committee that was supposed to be formed a couple years ago that was now repopulated. So there's supposed to be a mechanism in place, but there's not. What I would suggest is we have two incidences that we're working on. There's two individuals on the board.
Point of order.
Point of order.
There's a debate.
There's a motion on the floor.
I'm asking for your help here.
We have a
disagree
motion
with it after.
Board.
We have a
board.
Board. We have order when you're looking at the chair is entitled to speech. You can then
quarrel
with
what
you
said. No, no, no.
You can get it in every other chair. I've seen you do it, John.
Folks, I'm calling for order, please. If you'll hear me out for a moment, and if you disagree, you'll have a moment. I promise I will call on you. I've done it every time to date, and I will do it again. Here's the proposal that I have. If people agree with this, there are two incidents that are being questioned, and they both involve LSB members. If you agree with this, I will gladly appoint a private ad hoc committee with four members, and I'll go in as a neutral chair. People can raise their hands. We'll pick two from each group as you see fit to merely inquire as to what may have happened in each incident and bring it back to this board at the next meeting during executive session. Fact-finding it all is all it is, and we'll have four people in there just to look at the facts, talk to people who are there, see what happened, bring it back to the board for further discussion in executive session.
Objection.
We have an objection.
And point of order.
I would like to call
point of order. Are you being asked to be called on,
point of order.
Can we hand the microphone to John? He's asked to be called on very nicely.
He's got three microphones coming. The chair should not engage in debate, and the proposal the chair just made without passing the mic to someone else was to make a motion, which is out of order for the chair.
I'm not proposing a motion. I'm proposing an action.
You are engaging.
To a point.
The chair is engaged.
Not a motion.
The chair should not engage in debate.
I disagree.
I call my own question.
Is Lawrence Reyes.
It's called entertaining a motion.
I don't think at this point the chair is engaging in a debate. I think the chair is making a decision. If you want to take, you're more than welcome to appeal his decision. He's making a decision to appoint
I've called the question.
Which question?
The question of the motion that was on the floor.
Right.
Motion to table.
The question's been called.
Yeah, can we make sure Sequoia's microphone's on?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Number two.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. On behalf of the board and as a member of the board, I'd like to apologize to you for anything that may have been said that was offensive. Whatever else we do, but I think that is certainly something that's the least that we can do.
Can you have the microphone for Omar, please? Omar, can you have that microphone because the cord's longer? The other microphone's got a longer cord and it won't do this.
Can you hear me, everybody?
Thank you, Fred. Here you go, Lamar. This is a better microphone for you.
Hello. Yes, okay. This is the Bylaw Pacifica Foundation. Just lost my page. See if I can get back to this right away. This has to do with Section 6, the meeting. And under ABC, members in public participation, LSP meetings shall be open to the public and to all members, with the exception of those meetings dedicated to or predominantly regarding personnel, proprietary information, litigation, or other matters requiring confidential advice to counsel involving commercial, financial, blah, 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 blah. The privileges of confidential basis related to, they give a list. I'm not going to read it all, but as LSD member Reese indicated, our bylaws here, well, and if, I don't know if you're talking about Jim, I'll share this with you.
I agree. They don't apply to what we're doing.
Well, this has to do with the LSD and its meetings. It says members in public participation.
Yeah.
And certain things are closed
Jim
to the public.
Thank
That's
you,
what
Martin.
This is saying.
Okay, the next hand up was Jim, and then Thank Kim, you. And then Ken, and I thought I saw a hand over here.
Just very quickly, no, you're quite right in terms of what you say, but that's not talking about what we were talking about here. That's not a matter. You see, you're interpreting that language to mean that you have to go into executive session if you want to discuss the behavior of a board member. That's not what that says. It simply doesn't say that. And we're debating that here, and we can debate that, but what you're citing is true as to what it pertains to, but it doesn't pertain to this discussion, with all due respect.
Thank you, Jim. The next person in the queue is Kim Kaufman.
Once again, I would certainly apologize if there was something to apologize for, and I'm not sure, well, Sequoia was well-meaning to apologize on my behalf is strange, and still nobody's asked me what happened, and I have to the board. Well, the board has no reason apologizing when they don't know what
I said.
My opinion.
Exactly.
And nobody's still asked me, and it's like, you know, this is going on, and, until we decide the proper venue, what I heard, what other people told me, what was said, does not sound like anything I recognize as, and I do think that should we agree on some venue, that should be heard at some point.
The next hand raised, according to Margie, was Leonard.
Now, we're very concerned about Robert's Rules of Order. My understanding of Robert's Rules of Order is that when the question is called, all business stops and the question is called. It has been called, and I think the chair is ignoring Robert's Rules of Order. And that is not within the prerogative of the chair. You can't choose to do what you want to do. You are as much bound by Robert's Rules of Order as anybody else. So the question has been called, let's have a vote.
Challenge the chair.
It's been called.
I called the question.
Can we have public comment before we have a vote, please?
Unfortunately, it's not scheduled. If a member of the board wants to move their public comment on, I would honor that. But I
still move.
Is there a second?
We already have a motion on the table.
We have a motion on the table.
Point of order.
The question is called. Any other action prior to voting on a question is out of order, including getting comments from the public. I'd like to entertain their comments. But we're getting to the point now where people are making accusations about individuals right in the public. This is being streamed to the public. There's been accusations of racism. It's going way out of hand. The question was called. The question is to move John Parker's motion to close session.
I'll let them restate it. Doug, I apologize. I pulled the board, and that's where we landed. Michael Novick has a point of order.
Yes.
Can we have the microphone on?
My understanding is that when the question is called, you vote on closing debate.
Right. Yeah.
So that's the vote we're about to take.
That's right.
So thank you for the clarity, Lawrence.
An additional point of order. Before this question is entertained, you have to vote on the first question.
Right.
This is the second question. So you have to divide those two, vote on one before you vote on the other.
Clarify,
Terry, how does that...
I don't know what...
calling upon my parliamentarian here.
I'm not sure
I'm asking our parliamentarian if he's got a sense of this first.
If the last item, which was a...
as a result.
Yeah, if the referral was in order, then it is. Then that's what.
It's in order.
Yeah, that's what you decide on now. Yeah. The whatever that other item that Mr. Reyes is talking about, there should not be two items on the floor. So if the referral was in order, that's what has to be disposed of.
How do we determine if the referral was in order?
Actually, after the referral, there was a motion to close debate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's what's actually on the floor.
Yes. And then
you vote on the referral.
And then after that,
so the motion to close debate, then the referral, and if it goes to John Parker's motion, correct? Am I following you?
Yes. If the referral fails, then it goes back to Mr. Parker's motion. If the referral succeeds, then in closed session is when Mr. Parker's motion is considered.
So again, the order of precedent, we need to do a call, a vote to, what was the first name?
Close debate should have been seconded and requires 2/3.
Thank you. Who made the motion to close debate? Just raise your hand or remind me.
And then he took it up because nobody was
there. Someone raised their hand, which could be considered a motion to close debate. Was from Leonard Eisenberg.
No, Summer. Summer called the question.
Summer, are you owning it again or not?
Well, I got ignored for like six people. I got ignored.
John Wanger, can you hand her the microphone, please?
Sure. Summer called the question.
I called the question, and you proceeded to call on six or eight more people, so Leonard called the question again. So whichever one you choose to recognize.
Is there a second for Leonard's call for the question?
Second.
We have a second. So we'll call to the question. We'll show up hands if we... And how do I phrase this?
2/3, except the time has probably expired.
2/3, well, no,
call the question.
Call the question.
Call the
question.
Jury.
Okay, on the motion to refer. Motion to close debate.
On the motion to refer.
Start on my left. Raise your hand if you're going to close debate. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Close debate.
Is that a hand?
Yes.
10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 14 in favor, those against closing debate. Nobody against, any abstentions? Seeing none.
What abstention?
The old finger abstention, thank you. So
who abstained? That was one.
One abstention. So we call the question, correct?
I respect the roll call vote.
Okay.
Lawrence, I'm addressing you. What?
I respect the roll call vote. Roll call vote. Requested a roll call vote.
Can you take the microphone? You're asking for a roll call vote on what, Lawrence?
On the motion to
the microphone, Harry? What are you calling for a roll call
vote?
Lawrence, what are you asking? State the question.
You can't do anything else.
I'm just asking for a roll call vote on a motion to refer. That's all.
That's all.
Thank you.
I'm not able to do that after the vote.
No, this is on the second motion.
Yeah, debate has been closed.
So now we have the motion to refer. Is that correct, Terry?
Motion to refer.
Okay, refer it for this.
Repeat the motion.
Brenda?
Yeah.
Can I?
That's what I'm looking to do right now. So this is John Garrett.
Anyone's going to read the motion?
Please.
Reese moved to move Parker. Reese moved to move discussion of Parker's motion into executive session at the next.
No, it's a term motion. About that motion. Thank you. Go ahead, John.
Reese moved to move discussion of Parker's motion into executive session at the next meeting.
So who was the second on that? Is there a second?
Yeah, there was a second.
Summer. Thank you very much. So the motion on the table is to refer John Parker's motion to executive session at the
next meeting.
Calling for a show of hands.
He won a roll call. At that point.
We want a roll call vote. Is that?
Okay. That requires a vote then.
John Crumshaw, are you asking to be addressed?
That requires a vote. Point
of order. Microphone to John Crumshaw, please.
Point of order. We need a.
Hang on. Now you have a microphone. I'm addressing you. Yes, we need a vote on whether to have a roll call. 2/3. And I don't believe that's the case. My understanding is if a member calls for a roll call vote, such as Ken Ernst at the last meeting, we get a roll call vote. So I wouldn't want to deny either of these gentlemen their chance at a roll call vote.
Thank you.
Everyone understands the motion to refer John Parker's motion to executive session next meeting. So I'll do a roll call vote on this, and we'll start with Ken Aaron.
Yes.
Chuck Anderson.
No.
Rodrigo Argueta.
Absent.
John Fred Blair.
Yes.
Lydia Brazon.
No.
Omar Burdette.
No.
John Crumshaw.
Yes.
Ariana Gladney.
Yes.
Is it no?
Yes.
Thank you. Leonard Eisenberg?
Yes.
Kim Kaufman?
Yes.
Fred Klunder? Is that an extension?
No. He passed.
Come back to me later.
He passed.
He passed.
Jim Lafferty?
No.
Ali Lexa?
Yes.
Brenda Medina?
No.
Sequoia Olivia Mercier?
Yes.
Margie Murray?
Yes.
Michael Novick?
No.
John Parker?
No.
Summer Reed?
Yes.
Lawrence Reyes?
No.
John Winger?
Yes.
And Lamont Nicky?
Yes.
And one pass?
No.
Thank you. Go back. No from Fred.
11 to 10.
And just I'll count this, and John, if you follow with me, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 yeses. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 no's.
That's correct.
And I believe we need 2/3 to refer his motion.
No.
Majority. Thank you. Thanks for being patient with me, folks.
Thank you.
You know what? It's not easy being human in this room.
We don't do that here.
So the John Carpenter motion will be taken up in executive session at the next meeting. Thank you. The next item of business on our agenda is the Personnel Committee report. John Crenshaw?
Yeah.
Can we hand the microphone to Michael Lovey?
Just three items, very short.
Hold on for a moment. Did we skip PD Search Committee?
Yeah, you
want to
do that?
Yeah, John, I have to apologize. They were put into the agenda before you, and I need to allow...
Because I have something that would be three sentences, but that's
fine. Do you want to give them three sentences? Can we just finish with Personnel real quick?
Sure.
Yeah, thank you. John, go ahead. Okay. Thank you for allowing me the three sentences. One, the interim
program director survey is going to be underway mid-September. It will be a repeat of what has been done last time in terms of being online and three categories of members, paid staff, unpaid staff, and LSD. Second sentence. There are currently two interim positions open, one of the interim business manager and the other of the interim program development director. And sentence number three, according to EEOC requirements, both of those positions need to be advertised, as only one of them, the business manager, is currently advertised on the website. The interim development director has not been advertised. Well, thank you very much for your report.
Thank you. Ollie, thank you for your patience. We'll learn right along. The KPFK Program Director Search Committee has finalized its composition of the ads. It's finalized its list of locations where it will be advertising, and it's coordinated with the national office. Currently, the national office does not have a human resources director. In absence, Christine Nehira, administrative assistant, will be functioning as point person at the national office to coordinate this search. We hope to launch the search next week.
Thank you. And we have a question from Michael Novick.
Yes, at the personnel committee, I propose that some mechanism be devised for soliciting listener input on the evaluation of the interim program directors and the personnel committee felt that it was only an internal matter of staff relations at the station and not appropriate for listener input. But I think that the program director's position is uniquely one that is related to listener satisfaction with the station, different from, let's say, a business manager, development director, or other management positions. And I think we should find some mechanism for soliciting listener input regarding the evaluation of the program director's efficacy.
Thank you. The next person on the queue is Jim Lafferty.
Yeah, I would second.
And then Lydia.
I would second Michael Novak's thought. Also, I don't know where this comes up, and I want to thank all of you for the work you've already done, but I want to make sure we don't run into the confusion that some of us had with respect to hiring the general manager through that search process. And there was some confusion, for example, about whether the committee had been given the authority to pass its recommendations on to who they passed them on to without first coming back to the board. I have no idea, as it turned out, who was right or wrong in that dispute. I simply had questions about it. But we ought to decide that as a board this time, whether we want the search committee for the program director, when they've made their choices, to then come to the full board or not for our input of it. I would favor that myself, but at any rate, we ought to take that up and decide the board's pleasure in that regard.
Thank you. Next person on the queue is Fred Klunder.
A question from someone who wasn't at the last committee meeting. Have we decided, Ali, when we will begin interviews? When we hope, as always, is you don't have a target of 10 seconds to get here.
Well, like I said, we hope to launch the actual advertising next week. The process of seeding through all of the resumes, we should take about a month, hopefully. If it goes smoothly, we're looking at a month to 6 weeks before we get to the point where we're actually looking at finalizing.
Now, just a note of process. We have run out of time for that, but we're almost out of time for our meeting. So I'm glad to, since there's so much interest in this topic, let the clock run out on this topic. Unless there's an objection, we can stay on this for the last minute. Is there an objection?
No.
Without objection, the next person on the queue is Ken Aaron.
Hello. I didn't understand Michael's recommendation that the public get involved because we're soliciting applications for program directors from all around the United States and the world. I don't know how the public can evaluate Joe Blow from Iowa, who was or wasn't a program director.
Michael, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was my A. And then B, just as a comment to what Jim Lafferty was saying, likewise, the evaluation of program directors is a process of going through resumes and then narrowing it down and then going through interviews and making decisions I don't know. I mean, if we're going to be a two-tiered process, then the search committee would come up with like 20 people, and the board would narrow it down to 5. It would be very complex. So I think that the best position is for the board to have entrusted the search committee to come up with the candidates and hand them directly over to the general manager. But I did, that was a comment, but I didn't understand Michael's recommendation for the public to participate.
No, my recommendation.
And Ken, I'm sorry, Mike, we haven't been calling. And the reality is it's now 10 o'clock, which is our witching hour.
Can we move to a stand?
5 minutes.
John Wenger, David Brown.
Yeah, point of information. May we move to extend?
You may make a motion for anything you like.
I move to extend by 10 minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
We have Summer Reese's second and John Wenger's motion to extend by 10 minutes. Quick hand vote. All in favor of extending 10 minutes? Is that a hand, Margie? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 in favor. Those against extending 10 minutes? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 against, motion passed. We have 10 more minutes, so we should allow a minute on this, but then we have other items on the agenda. So Michael, you respond to his question.
I was not referring to the PD search. I was referring to the evaluation of the interim program director.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. The next item of business.
Summer,
you want to be addressed?
Yeah, I raised my hand before. I thought you had it.
Well, we've exhausted the 5 minutes that were allotted for that, and we still have.
I was under the impression that John had extended time.
John didn't state that he wanted the time specifically for this, okay. For the entire meeting.
No problem.
The next
Thank
item
you.
Of business is the Personnel Committee report. Michael, are you giving that?
I gave it.
Excuse me, I'm Programming Oversight Committee report.
I'm giving the Program Oversight Committee report. There is a motion that was introduced last time. I'll pass it around again.
Okay.
I'll read it. If anybody doesn't have one, can take one. Move that the LSC request a calendaring of regular programming time for dialogue with the listeners be hosted by the GM, the PD, the LSC, and the CAD, the advisory board, occurring weekly so that each is heard on air on a once-monthly basis. These programs are to alternate among various days of the week and time periods of the day over the course of the month and the year. In addition, once per month, one of these dialogues with the listener is conducted in Spanish during the Spanish language programming block.
So that's the motion before the board. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second from Jim Lafferty. Yes, sir. Discussion with Ken Aaron, and then Lawrence, and then actually Summer's name, Ken.
Okay. I consider it extremely ill-advised to have any aspect of the LSP mandate programming to the general manager. They can make the motion was changed to we suggest or recommend.
It says request.
Where is that?
The
word or the motion?
I'm sorry, Michael, it's not a debate.
Move that the LSP request. Okay. All right. And then, so then I withdraw that complaint. But I also, this is just a personal opinion. I don't believe that the public is that interested in our internal affairs.
I think so.
And once a month is quite adequate to just have a report to the listener from the GM. And we now have a GM who is willing to talk to the public and take calls. I think that's adequate. But to continue to, we're interested in public affairs, but not the listening public.
Thank you very much. Next on the queue is Lawrence, and then I saw Summer, and then John Crumshaw.
You know, it's established policy that the LSP do report to the listeners. I mean, Ken's point of that there won't be any interest from the listeners is, I think, ill-advised, Chair, because the GM report blew off the phone line. I mean, so it's obvious that listeners are really interested. Listeners are really interested in what's going on around here.
The next on the queue is Summer.
Sure. I think scheduling and the use of airtime does have to be the GM's decision. I think it was very good of him to go on air and talk with the listeners. I know at WPFW, the LSB does do a once-a-month type of dialogue with the listeners, where I don't know how they select who does it or any of the details of that, but they do that. Roy Tuckman interviewed me for like an hour in the middle of the night, and I got all sorts of interesting phone calls from people that were like regular listeners that wanted to know what was going on with the finances, and I mean, they ask really legitimate, decent listener type of questions, and I found it nice to engage with them. So, I mean, you know, whether it's OSB, PNB, PD, GM, CAB, I would like to leave that kind of to the discretion of the GM, but I like interfacing with the listeners. I think it's helpful. So I think, you know, the structure needs to be given the discretion of management, but I do think it would be potentially helpful for the LSB management and all the various constituencies to interface with the listeners on a semi-regular basis, but not burdensome to the conversation.
Thank you, Summer. Next on the queue is John Kershaw.
I would say, in light of the very nice response that I heard as far as the GM's first report to the listener, very, very well done, well received, that we should allow that to be to set the pace for a while and not put any additional requirements or requests out until the general manager has had the opportunity to continue to do his work, and if he should feel at some point otherwise, then perhaps that would be something that could be certainly considered, and he doesn't need us to tell him, because I think he did an excellent job in presenting the report to the listener, and something that's been sorely missed. Thank you. Next on the queue is Jim Lafferty.
You guys might not have the microphone down. Thank you.
It always does seem ironic when we finally get to doing some substantive business, and we finally have the LSB pronouncing on something that it actually has some responsibility for pronouncing on. Nobody really wants to do it. I would agree with those who've expressed reservations if this was saying you must, we mandate, we require that you do this. But it doesn't say that. Surely the LSB can say to the general manager if we think this is a good idea or not. If you don't think it's a good idea, vote against the motion. If you do think it's a good idea, and I do, then vote for the motion. And the general manager will do what he sees fit to do.
Thank you. The next on the queue is Ariana.
For the listener, to say that the listeners don't care about what's going on in KPSA internally is completely wrong, because we're not talking about people that are not politically uneducated and don't know what's going on. These are listeners that are politically aware or are most of the time involved with the movement against police brutality, anti-fascism, whatever the case may be. So that being the case, they do want to know what's going on and they are involved.
Thank you very much, Ariana. Next on the queue is Lydia.
Yes, one of the things, when we had our auditor's report giving us the going concern at the PNB in February, he said, we've done an excellent job of streamlining staff through layoffs and whatever. We've gone like as far as we can go on at that level, but that we really needed to increase our listenership, that that's where we're really hurting, right? So you can find out what it is that the listeners do and do not want from us, both not only in terms of programming, but as an organization, if you don't listen to them. And so I do support this motion because, as Jim says, we're not saying, we're not demanding anything. We're just requesting so that the general manager knows that this, he can put it in the back of his mind or in the front. It doesn't matter. The point is, it's just so that we make our needs known. Because if there is any doubt, then all we have to do is reflect back to 1999 and 2000, and then you will come to terms with how much people care about governance, and actually they do.
Thank you, and we're down to the last 2 minutes. The next on the queue is Chuck.
I speak. Hello.
He's working on it.
I speak in favor of the motion. We are the LSB, which includes listener station board. The listeners voted for us to be here to represent them, but now you don't want their opinion on the air, how strange. And who supports the station and gives money for all the expenses? The listeners. And the listeners are ever important, not the Democratic Party. The listeners. Thank you.
The next person on the queue, and again, we're down to our last minute, John Parker.
This is actually, like Chuck was saying, this is actually a fundraising.
You want to take the microphone, John? Can you help him with the microphone?
This is
actually a fundraising motion. The more relevant we are to our listeners, the more they will support us. And this is the most scientific way of finding out what the listeners want. Arbitrage can't do it. It's biased. You can't get it by fundraising, just depending on the folks who have the most money. This is the most scientific way to do it.
Call the question. Thank you. So we're calling a question, and we're down to the last moments of our meeting. So the question is to move this motion forward.
We'll take a hand vote. All in favor of the motion, please show your hands, starting with my left. One. Starting with my left. One, two, three. Raise them high. Four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 in favor. Those against. Those abstentions.
One abstention.
Two, one,
three.
Two, three abstentions. Motion passes.
There were no noes. Is that correct?
There were no noes. Thank you. We've been able to move something forward. I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn.
And we have the motion on the table. Let me just remind everybody, thank you very much to the AFL-CIO, Electronic Federation of Labor. Also, very sorry, before we adjourn, the station needs our help. This is when we show up at the phone.
Tomorrow morning.
Please volunteer. Please put in the time.
Comment, you forgot the outreach committee report.
When your microphone...